ജയം ശുപാല പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദികി ജയം തിരിലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷ്ണുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാജ് ശീല പ്രഭുപാദികി അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദകി നാമാചാര്യ ശ്രീ ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദകി ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോവിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗൗർ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബിൾ ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ വിഷുപദായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമി നിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ
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 ഓം അജ്ഞാനസമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജലശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മീലാമ്യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സാവിദാം യേന ഭൂതലെ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാം ദിയം വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണ രഘുനാഥാന്വിതം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാന്വിതാം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനേ നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതീദേവീം ഗൗരവാണീ പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണേ ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതീ നാമിനേ വൃഷ്ഭാനവീ ദേവി ദൈതായാം കൃപാർദയേ കൃഷ്ണ സംവർദ്ധ വിജ്ഞാനം ദായിനേ പ്രഭവേ നമാം മധുരോജ്വല പ്രേമാദ്യാം ശ്രീരൂപാനുഗഭക്തിദാ ശ്രീഗൗരകരുണാശക്തി വിഗ്രഹായ നമോസ്തുതേ നമസ്തേ ഗൗരവാണി ശ്രീമൂർത്തയേ ദീനധാരിണേ രൂപാനുഭൂത വിരുദ്ധാപസിദ്ധാന്തധ്വന്ദഹാരിണേ നമോ ഗൗരകിഷോരായ സാക്ഷാത് വൈരാഗ്യമൂർത്തയേ വിപ്രലംബ രസാംബോധേ പദാംബുജായ ദേ നമഃ നമോ ഭക്തിവിനോദായ സച്ചിദാനന്ദനാമിനേ ഗൗരശക്തി സ്വരൂപായ രൂപനോഗവരായ ദേ ഗൗരാവിർഭവഭൂമിസ്തു നിർദ്ദേഷ്ടാ സജ്ജന പ്രിയാം വൈഷ്ണവാ സർവഭൗമ ശ്രീ ജഗന്നാഥായ ദേ നമഃ ജഗൽപദരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാ സിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ നമോ മഹാമദന്യായ കൃഷ്ണ പ്രേമ പ്രദായതേ കൃഷ്ണായ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ നാമ്നേ ഗൗരത്വശേ നമഃ പഞ്ചതത്വാത്മകം കൃഷ്ണം ഭക്തരൂപസ്വരൂപകം
భక్తావతారం భక్తాఖ్యం నమామి భక్త శాస్త్రియం హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే జయదాం సురదౌపాంగో మమ మందమదేర్గది మత్సర్వస్వపదాంబోజౌ రాధా మదనమోహనౌ దివ్యభృంగారణ్యకల్పద్రుమాద శ్రీమన్రత్నాకర సింహాసనస్థౌ శ్రీమద్భాషీల గోవిందదేవో ప్రశాళిని సేవ్యమానౌ స్మరామి శ్రీమన్రాసరసారంభీ వంశీవటతటస్థిత కర్షన్ వేణుస్వనేర్గోవైర్గోపినాథా శ్రీయేస్తునాః తప్తలాంజన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం పాఠాయ ప్రతిబోధితం భగవదం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితం పురాణ మునినాం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతి అష్టాదశాధ్యాయిని అంబ త్వామనుసన్నదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్వేషిణి నమోస్తు వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే ఉల్లారవిందాయత పత్రనేత్ర యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణ ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీపా ప్రపన్న పారిజాలాయ తోత్రవేత్రైక పాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ గీతామృతదుహే నమః సర్వోపనిషదో గావో గావోపాలనందన పాథో వల్స సుధీ భోక్త దుగ్ధం గీతామృతం మహర్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచ్చానూరమర్దనం దేవకీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం విశ్వద్రోణతటా జయద్రత జలా గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవదీ కృపేణ వహనీ కర్ణేన వేళాకుల అశ్వత్థామావికర్ణ ఘోరమగరా దుర్యోధనావర్తిని సుతీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణనది కైవర్తక కేశవ పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమలం గీలార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానగకేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాభోదితం లోకై సజ్జన శల్పదైరహరః ప్రవీయమానం ముదా భూయాద్ భారత మంగజ కలిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే ముఖం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యం బ్రహ్మా వరుణేంద్ర రుద్రమరుదస్త్వన్వంది దివ్యై సవే వేదేర్ సాంగపదేర్ క్రమౌపనిషదేర్ గాయంతి యం సామగాః జ్ఞానావస్థిత తద్గతేన మనసా పశ్యంతి యం యోగినో యస్యాందం అవిదుస్సురా సురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః.
In this 18th chapter, when Arjuna asked the question that What's the difference between sannyasam and tyagam? Isn't it? That's how this chapter began. Krishna answers straight away, kamyanam karmanam nyasam sannyasam. First thing, kamyanam karmanam nyasam sannyasam. Then, sarva karma phala tyagam prahu tyagam vijakshana. Two answers Krishna gave there. And last Sunday when we discussed this, I mentioned also that the understanding of this karma is the most difficult thing in the Bhagavad Gita. Particularly, it is explained, although so many chapters Krishna has spoken about it, eventually in one place Krishna says that even learned people are completely baffled by the karma. In one point Krishna mentions that. So, you can understand that, and this karma is a main topic that is discussed in this 18th chapter, because sannyasam, tyagam, all dependent on this karma, is it not? So, we have seen there that prakriti, when we talk about material nature, it is not separate from us. It's not separate from us. For example, suppose there is a sense object and we have got the senses. It becomes a sense object only because you have got the senses, is it not? That means you can see how closely they are connected to each other. That means that the form, what we perceive with the eye, and the form itself is one. So close that the eye and the sense and the sense objects. Similarly, the sound and the ear, they are closely connected. If the ear is not there, the sound isn't there. If the eye is not there, the form is not there. Is it not? Similarly, all the knowledge, senses of knowledge are so closely connected that practically they say that the chittavritti and the topic on the sense objects, they are one and the same. So, because sense objects cannot remain on its own. Cannot remain on its own. Because we have got senses, the sense objects becomes a part of us. Becomes a part of us. So, and when we make a contact with any sense objects, Vedantam is saying to us, that sense object is already inside you, and that's what is reflecting outside in the world. Therefore, it is very complicated to free oneself from the sense objects, because they are all inside us already existing. It's difficult for us to remove it. Even though physically they are present outside, in a subtle level they are inside us. Everything is like that. That's what we are saying, other examples, that suppose you bought a car, the car is parked outside, but the car is inside me. I'm thinking conscious of the car is there, isn't it? So, that similarly, so many things, if you can look at it, you will see this, that anything that affects the sense objects, it affects me. It affects me, isn't it? Because, therefore, prakriti, when we talk about prakriti is not something independent of us. It's not separately outside. It is inside us. But, because of the object is outside, it makes that effect impression on us. So, Krishna's point is here, what we are talking about, this freedom, isn't it? Tyagam, sannyasam. In these two cases, if you want to become free from all these things, then the only thing is that everything, all the sense objects, have to become Krishna. It has to become Krishna. That's the only way it can get out of it. That means that it has to become Sat. At the moment it is all asat. This sat, asat and all is not like a spirit and matter. It changes its position. So asat can become sat. Only in that case it will free us from the impact of that sense object. Otherwise sense object will have an effect on us. But if it becomes Krishna, if it becomes Bhagavad Sarupam, Krishna Sarupam, then it will get yourself, you will get released from that. That means, sense objects cannot remain as a sense object anymore. Personalities cannot remain as a personality anymore. And I cannot remain as an individual anymore, as an ego anymore. So everything has to change. Everything has to change. I have to change, come to the platform of the self, Atma. Atmaiva idam sarvam. Atmaiva idam sarvam. Upanishad says, egameva adhidiyam brahma neha nanasti kinchana. That means everything, sense objects, persons, and the self, all when it is experienced as Krishna's presence, as Krishna. In that situation, that me, he, you, all these individualities goes away, and when it becomes Ishvara Sarupam, that means it's experienced as Krishna alone, present in everything, then we will get released, we will get freedom from this. That is the subtle way of expressing that. It cannot be said anything more than that, because that Krishna is coming to that point that we have seen in our main problem is Tyagam, Sannyasam, all these things. How is that happen? How will that happen? It can only happen in this way. That if I remain as a based on the body, if I remain as on the bodily level, if the individuals all remain as individuals, and if the matter remains as sense objects, under no situation it's going to change. But when we recognize the presence, Krishna's presence in all these sense objects, when we recognize Krishna's presence inside the Sundariyami, when we recognize Krishna's presence in every living entity, then you will see everything is Krishna's manifestation only. Nothing is different from Him. So, that is what Krishna is going to talk about here. Arjuna asked this question to Krishna, that sannyasam, tyagam, what are these two things, isn't it? So, in that situation we mentioned there, that ghata pada shabdo iva jati andara bhudartho. Gadam padam. Gadam is pot and padam is a cloth, you can say, or picture. So, gadam padam, it is not like that. They are two separate things, but they are not two different things. Which one, sannyasam and tyagam, is not gadam and padam. Instead, gadam itself, that gadam is a pot, and pot in a different form is tyagam. Or sannyasam and tyagam are together. Sannyasam and tyagam are together. They are not separate. They are not separate. That's the point Krishna is making here. Arjuna asked the question, what is tyagam? What is sannyasam? That was the question. Krishna is saying here, kamikarma, that means fruitive activities, if you give them up, then it is sannyasam. If it is sannyasam, Krishna says, kamyanam karmanam nyasam sannyasam. Kavayo vidu. Rishis are saying like that, Krishna is saying. So, rishis are not saying like an objective. I mean, not like that they have invented something like the science does. Not in that way. Because that means something that is not, they are not finding out anything outside us, something not connected with us, but everything that is connected with us. That, for example, in the science, when they invent something, a planet or a new discovery happens, it's all outside that is mostly happening, isn't it? And the relationship is like this, that you take, for example, hydrogen and oxygen combined together make water, is it not? So whether I know that or not, when I'm thirsty, if I drink water, my thirst will go, is it not? But I don't have to know that it's a combination of hydrogen and oxygen. I don't have to know that. If I drink water, my thirst will go. In Kriya, the rishis are saying all their effort in this world is, that means world, when they're talking about world, samsara, material existence. That word, when Krishna uses the word samsaram, when he uses that, it's a very loaded word. That is, a very loaded word. So, we have heard this samsaram many, many times, is it not? Samsaram, that word we are hearing. So, some people are finding it difficult to take that word samsaram, material existence itself. in simple terms, if you make it, you can say like this, we are caught up in a mess. We are caught up in a mess. What is that mess? The mess is this. This body and the mind and all our problems in this world, birth, death, happiness, distress, and all our complicated relationships all together is called samsara in simple terms. Just like I'm trying to cross some river and I have got a boat, I'm going in that boat. Halfway, when the boat has traveled, I realize that there is a hole in the boat and the water is getting in from the bottom. Similarly, when I realized it much later, after I have started the journey to cross the river. Similarly, this body has got these 9 holes in the body, isn't it? 9 holes in the body. And with these 9 holes, I am trying to escape from this. But through the 9 holes, so many things are coming and going into the body. Navadvare pure dehi, Krishna says there. So, that is where you can understand that little by little, that ultimately this we have to take off from this body. We have to take off from this body. And that preparation for the takeoff from the body is karmam, sannyasam, tyagam. All these things Krishna talked about, and many people are endeavoring through these 3 things. Just like we wanted to cross the river, I realized that there is a hole in the boat and I see the danger. I perceive the danger. Similarly, I want to escape from this body. Body is the boat, isn't it? Nadehamadhyam, sulabham, sudurlabham, plavam, sugalpam, guru karnatharam, Bhagavatam says. The body is the boat to cross this material existence. What is material existence in? Material existence means that body, mind, and all the problems what we have associated with these 2. Then birth and death, happiness and distress, and all our complicated relationships with this world, which are none of them are real. None of them are real. But we are in this mess. Complete mess that is. The whole thing is in a mess. But recognizing that, and knowing that I got this boat to journey across, and the boat has got all 9 different holes through which sense objects are coming in, going out, and the body itself is interacting with the world in different ways. So many problems inside, outside the body, everything. In the middle of all these things, Krishna is saying here that ultimately you have to take off from this body. And for that purpose, a preparation is necessary. And that preparation is called karma. Karma is a part of that. Tyagam, sacrificing that. And sannyasam. So under these 3 different titles, people are trying to come out of this body, somehow or the other, to escape from this body. So, so in this process, while trying to escape from this body, certain revelations Krishna is revealing to us. What will happen in that process? And that is what Krishna is saying here, that some people, this is referring to, Krishna puts it like this, sannyasam kavayo vidu. Kavis or rishis, they have invented certain things in that process. How to escape from this mess. How to escape from this mess. So, first thing they have found out is that if you don't carry the results of karma, if you don't carry it on your head, you will get a lot of freedom. You will get a lot of freedom. It's a very important discovery that is. That why we feel so loaded? Because of this karma bhalam. We have done a lot of karma. All that bhalam is we are shouldering us on us. And easiest thing the rishis are saying is that if you don't carry that with you, the results of all your karma with you, you will get a lot of freedom from your body. You'll get a lot of freedom from your body and the mind. Unfortunately, what we think and our conditioning is that what will I get? What will I get if I do this? If I do this, isn't it? So, and then in gradually it becomes like this, only if I get something, I'll do something about it, isn't it? That means karma and phalam, two things. So these two things are interconnected from long time. Which one? Karma and phalam, karma and phalam, karma and phalam. And it is like that in this world. And this itself is called material existence. This itself is called material existence. Karma, phalam. If I'm not getting results, I'm not going to do any karma. This nature. And Krishna is saying here, so Rishis found out this, that this karma and phalam are closely connected. And easiest thing, what they are saying to us is that if you do not carry the result of your karma with you, then if you don't carry it on your head, then you will get a lot of freedom from this effect of karma. For example, to live in this world, we have to eat. And we have to, we want food to eat and we want a place to sleep. As far as they are concerned, that's all what is needed. That's all what is needed. And you also have to remember, these things, eating and sleeping, we have also done this while we were in the womb of the mother. While we were in the womb of the mother. There, we were not earning anything. And we were maintained inside the womb, isn't it? So that power that has protected us, and which has protected us inside the womb, invariably will protect us when we come out also. That is the real and proper understanding of that. And this trust, faith, we have to have. That what that has protected us inside the womb of the mother, provided us the food and the shelter, everything. It was able to look after us for 10 months inside the womb. That power is capable of protecting us the rest of our life in this world also. This is a very fundamental thing. And therefore, what Krishna is saying here is that we are earning money with the understanding that I want to be happy, I want some comforts in life, and then I want some security in life. But actually, if you analyze this, even we don't have the comforts of the animals. To be honest about that. Because animals don't have to pay the tax. Animals don't have to give their accounts to the government, what you are they are doing. And they don't need anything. They don't have to go to school. They don't have to study college or anything. And not only that, even if you look from the material life itself, material point of view, you can see sometimes the animal's life, they are created with such a freedom. Sometimes you will, if you watch this Discovery Channel, you will see some of the animals' way of life. Because we live in the city and we don't have much contact with the animals. We have to look at the television only. But there you will notice there that a female deer is pregnant and she is passing through. Suddenly, she felt the necessity to have the baby delivered. And without any difficulty, the baby was delivered by the mother deer. And the mother went one way and the baby went the other way. Didn't even have a much of a connection each other like that. Whereas this freedom we don't have, is it not? And we have to build huge hospitals and facilities for delivery and so much complicated systems. None of them. The deer, female deer delivered the baby and it just went on. The baby also woke up after a while and it's also moving in this ground, in the world, isn't it? So, even in material life in this world, as far as material body is concerned, even though we have spent so much money into research and development and science and technology, everything, and so many things we have in machines we have discovered, developed, all of them. And practically you can see we haven't achieved very much. If you look at it, as far as freedom is concerned, all what has happened is we have become more and more complicated and got bound by that. We become completely controlled by the inventions and the technology, what we have. So that intelligence which has, or that power of knowledge which runs the whole show in this world,
if we can leave a lot of things to that, back towards to the same power which looked after us inside the womb of the mother, and then you will see that things will also go much smoothly in this world, a lot smoothly in this world. Our problem is that in our understanding is that it requires my cleverness. I need to be smart to run everything well here. But it is not necessary. This is the first understanding. If we keep on analyzing this, you will see that you are getting released from the grip of this world. Getting released from the grip of this world. Lot of misunderstanding in our head due to our conditioning. So the more and more we start seeing things in the proper way, then if there is a power which can look after us inside the womb of the mother, how is that that power won't look after us after we were born? Why we have so much worry and concern about life to that extent? What Krishna's point is, Krishna is saying that freedom from the karma is not so simple, because it's been injected into us so strongly that when we becoming in a subtle level, you are getting released from this bondage where we feel you are bound by so many things, isn't it? By the body, like the mind, the senses, and then as well as this happiness and distress of this world, friends, society, relationships, and all other associated problems along with that. From all of them we want freedom. That is freedom from all this samsara material existence means. So Krishna's point is that if you understand that, it doesn't require a lot of intelligence. What is required is this understanding must change. If it happens that you are getting released from all these things due to our continuous identification with the body, mind, society and all other things, we feel caught up in that, is it not? So that freedom from that, that's first thing to happen. And Krishna says that is a little selfish thing to do. But this selfishness is necessary. Without selfishness, we can't live in this world. So actually, this selfishness is our energy, is our real energy. But the only thing is, where you keep this selfishness, that is where the difference is. Man cannot be living this world without selfishness. But this selfishness itself is an expression of the Atma, expression of the soul. For example, only when you have a soul, there will be selfishness. The mic doesn't have selfishness, is it not? Similarly, because it is jadam, it is a dead matter. And human being has got selfishness. And that selfishness is a spurti. It means it's something that is emitting from the chaitanyam, from the living force inside. So long as there is a living force inside, there will be selfishness in that person. So, so it's born inside from each one of us, and it remains for some time, and then sometimes it disappears also from us. So when you see that there is a selfish interest happening in all of us, and it remains for a while, and then it is disappearing, they call it as the first expression of the knowledge of the self. First expression of the knowledge of the self. That this awareness inside that I am, and always a desiring that I have to look after, I have my own interest, like every one of us has their own interest in this world. And that interest is coming from the Atma. It won't happen to the dead matter. So, but when this selfishness, at the moment which is thinking in terms of the body, instead when it starts realizing that selfishness is unbroken, uninterrupted, and it is all pervading, akhandam, then you realize the truth. You have realized the truth at that time. But it is impossible to say to anybody that selfishness is wrong. Because that selfishness, that power of the selfishness itself is coming from the self. The self is not there, selfishness won't be there. So it will always be there, it will never go. But only thing is, the selfishness at the moment is centered around the body, mind and the false things in this world. Instead, when it starts realizing that selfishness is reality, is nothing but one unbroken consciousness, pure consciousness present everywhere, all pervading, if that realization comes, then you have become a realized soul,
jnani. You have become a jnani. That is what Krishna is saying here. That at the moment what happens, when that realization comes, I'm thinking, I'm a man, I'm a woman, and I'm educated, I'm not educated, I'm a wealthy person, I'm a poor person. It comes to some understanding and then it disappears. This selfishness. Selfishness gets satisfaction from all these false identities. I'm a rich man, I'm a poor man. I'm educated, I'm uneducated. Or I'm a man, I'm a woman, and things like that. And when this wave of selfishness works inside, when you start realizing that it is a part of a huge ocean that is existing, and when you start realizing its source, where that selfishness is coming from, its source, and it remains in that state, in an unbroken level, then you realize that there is a perfection there. There is a perfection there. Therefore, you can see there, ego is, position is like that. This ego is a very difficult thing to explain it also. Ego will not go. even though its name is go, it will not go easily. He will not easily go. Because this ego is an expression of the selfishness inside, of the truth, of the reality, consciousness that is existing inside. The expression of that is this ego. So it will not go easily because it is coming from Atma. It is coming from Atma. When we look at it from a limited viewpoint, and it remains in that state, it's called ego. Otherwise, if you don't come into that level, if you start looking at it, it is the first expression of the knowledge of the self. This ego inside us is the first expression of the knowledge of the self, because it's coming from the self, from Atma. So ego, we have to understand that ego has this specific function, that the only way, only due to the presence of ego, this inquiry is there inside us. Inquiry is there. So self-knowledge is happening to us in some instances in the form of ego. It comes, but then it disappears. Again, disappears. So therefore, nothing is denied in the Bhagavad Gita. And it is no point in denying it either, because this selfishness, what we are talking about, is an energy that is coming from the self, isn't it? And that is an expression of Krishna's presence inside. So, you can experience this in different ways, how different people experience this. For example, you are sitting here and some people are talking to each other, and somehow or the other in their conversation they mentioned about my name, then my attention will go there. What did you say about me? What have I done? So that driving force inside, and that is because of, that cannot be taken out. That cannot be taken out. Because we can't deny ourselves. Only question is, where do you keep this power of this ego? Where do you go and place it? That's the important question. So just like if in material achievements, in material life, whatever achievements or success you have, if you keep it there, then you will go in one direction. But instead, if you put that into your spiritual life, and it will start slowly turning towards the source where it's coming from. This ego, you can transmit it into the material life, isn't it? In material life, if you put it through, what will happen is, a lot of material success may not come, and the ego will find happiness there. But instead, the same happiness, same ego, if it is turned towards the spiritual direction, what will happen is, that it will start slowly taking us towards the source where it's coming from. That's the power of that ego. And that is called vivekam, or discrimination power. So,
Because this power of Vivekam, that is what actually Vivekam means. Discriminative power is that. Discriminative power is not what you use with your intelligence and that is material life. In spiritual life, discriminative power is your false ego. It is originating, recognizing that there is a power called ego, which is your selfish interest. Selfish interest. Where is it coming from? If you give all your energy to inquire for that, you will notice that this ego is nothing but an expression of the Atma inside, presence of the soul inside, no expression of the knowledge of the self inside, but in a very crude form it's coming out in the form of ego. Instead, if you use that self-expression or ego for material life, then it will develop into all kinds of false things, like recognition in the world, followers, money, wealth, and all other sorts of things will come from that. So that is where that discrimination is necessary, and this limitation, we have to take it out from there. That means, if it is in the material life, if ego is operating in the material life, then you will know that everything is limited. That success of the ego is only very limited. But once it goes into the spiritual side, you will see the ego itself is later on transforming itself into the ultimate unknown existence of the whole creation. It develops into that. So, that is what Krishna is saying here. That Swarupam, my Swarupam is Aparimitam. Aparimitam means it has no limitations. When the ego is operating in the material plane, it is limited. When the ego is operating in the spiritual plane, you will realize that your unlimited nature will be realized at that point. And the swarthada, or our selfishness, it completely goes towards that knowledge of the self and self-realization. You understand the whole philosophy changes, because that identity me won't go easily. It will not go away. But where you turn that is more important. If you remember, Mirabai in her prayer says like this. How she puts it is, Mere do giridari kobal, Dusra na koi. There is nobody second person, she says. Only Krishna is there and me. So what she has done, this selfishness, what she is, the self, the ego, she says she has directed towards Krishna. And she says there is nobody else except Dusra na koi. There is nobody else here. So it is a force actually, this ego what we talk about, isn't it? So when that force of ego, when we have directed towards Krishna, it becomes very strong. But directing towards Krishna is the most important thing. How to direct it towards Krishna? If you direct it towards anybody else in this world, when they leave this world, our strength will also go. It is quite understandable, isn't it? Suppose our ego, which is coming from the force, from the Atma, if it you direct towards in the world, towards somebody, when they leave this world, that ego will naturally become very weakened. And because it is surviving here, holding on to somebody like that in this world. So if you keep on holding on to somebody, they will go on their own way. And your ego will be left on its own. And our strength will go. So that's why, Mere do giridari gobal dusra na koi, says Mirabai. So she was referring to this in this way, that I have nobody else, she says, except Krishna. So she was very unfortunate in the sense that she had to go through a lot of difficult time in the family, isn't it? That she whole her empire, that means she comes from a royal family, and the whole royal family was against her. And they have done a lot to change her mind. They fed her with poison, and a snake was made to bite her, and so many problems they gave it to her. She mentions this, Rana Jine Vishka Vyala,
Bheja Pivatu Meera Nachire. That she says here that what can I do? Rana, referring to her brother and the king at that time, she tried to feed me poison to kill me. And Meera is helpless. What can she do? But even though she was weak as a woman, but in her solitude, she sat down, studied Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. So, but her shelter was there in the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam. So, that itself also, when she says like that, it appears as though she also had some ego in that way. But because the difference is that this ego, you don't have to throw it away. Because this ego is for self-realization. So it will not harm her. When she says that I was only absorbed in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, what she is saying is that I had no interest in this world. It was not attracting me anyway. So I was the same ego what she had, she didn't deposit in the material life. Instead, she switched that whole thing towards Krishna. And the result was that she was feeling sheltered there and she was always protected. So abhimanam or ahankaram, ego will be there, but what we have to know is the nature of that ego. That is the most important thing. Swarupam of the ego. Because when you start realizing what this ego is, you will know that it's not a small river or anything. It is like an ocean. It's like an ocean. Because this ego, which is coming from pure consciousness, that's not a different thing. It's one and the same thing. When the ego returns back to the consciousness, and when you start experiencing that the all-pervading consciousness is what is inside me in form of this ego, then that ego takes a different form altogether. It gives you a completely different realization. It's not anymore, we call it as ego in the sense that if it is deposited in the world, if it is enjoyed in the world, then that ego becomes very limited and it becomes centered around the body, mind, intelligence and other things. But when that same ego is directed towards self-realization, and if it is progressing on that path, you will see that close relationship between the ego and the consciousness. They are not different. They are coming from the same consciousness. And it can even capable of taking us back to our original form, original state. So, just like you go in a river and go and join the ocean, in the similarly, like the waves that come, and that waves goes and it goes into the ocean and it gets dissolved there. Similarly, this vyaktitvam or personality, what we call it, which at the moment we identify with, we think that I am a small, simple person. And who am I? I am a simple person. What is going to happen? I always remain in that situation. But what Krishna is saying here, in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look into the 8th chapter, Krishna mentions about this. And that is a very interesting verse, in the sense that it's the 8th chapter. You can read that verse and see if you get that, what Krishna is saying there. 18th verse. Avyakta vyaktaya sarva prabhavandi aharagame ryatri agame praliyande tatrai avyakta samyaye. That verse. See that verse. It's a very, very subtle verse Krishna is saying there. Avyakta vyaktaya sarva prabhavandi aharagame ryatri agame praliyande tatrai avyakta samyaye. Let's read that thing. At the beginning of Brahma's day, all living entities become manifest from the unmanifested state. And thereafter, when the night falls, they are merged into the unmanifest again. Avyaktad vyaktaya sarve prabhavandi aharagame ratriagame praliyande tatrai avyakta samyage. Krishna is saying there. So, Krishna is saying here that from avyaktam, avyaktam means unmanifested. From unmanifested, this manifested thing comes. Which one? Ego. Ego comes, but it is one thing only. Avyaktam it is. Avyaktam, avyaktad vyaktaya sarve. Everybody. Vyaktaya sarve means all living entities. Is coming from avyaktam.
You can see this every night. Where is false ego going? In the deep sleep state, where does the false ego disappear? It goes back into avyaktam. Is it not? Avyaktam it is. We don't know where it has gone. Therefore, it's called avyaktam. All we know, we have an experience at that time in the deep sleep that the ego, what was suffering in the day, in the wakened state and the dream state, in the deep sleep state, it has gone somewhere and you feel happy. Is it not? So you can see the same thing what Krishna is saying here, that when that false ego, when it goes into the world, it suffers. When that false ego goes into its origin where it came from, which happens in the deep sleep state, it enjoys. It's not suffering. Is it not? That's what Krishna is saying there. Avyaktan vyaktaya sarve prabhavandi aharagame ratri agame praliyande tatrai avyakta samyage. Ratri agame, when the night time comes, praliyande, it goes and dissolves somewhere. Who? This ego. Goes and dissolves somewhere. Tatrai avyakta samyage, and it remains as avyaktam, unmanifested. And then in the morning again, he comes out from. So therefore, this false ego, although we will say we should not have false ego, what we are saying, what Krishna is saying here is that this false ego has to go back to its place where it's coming from. It is from these verses that this Jnanamargam has developed. That false ego is there, that you can't deny it. Only thing, where do you put that false ego? That is the question. If you put the false ego for material life and material happiness, it will give you some limited results and limited happiness. It will always give you more trouble than happiness, this false ego. But if the same false ego, if it goes to its source where it's coming from, which is the Atma, that's what Krishna is saying there. Avyaktal vyaktaya sarva prabhavandi aharagame. Prabhavandi aharagame. That ratriyagame praliyande tatrai avyakta samyage. So, here he says here that it comes manifest from the unmanifested state. And then when the night falls, they are merged into the unmanifested again. In particularly, we are talking about the deep sleep state. Of course, this is spoken in the at the beginning of Brahma's day and all. But it is a daily experience as well, what is happening. And Krishna mentions that little one, which is our false ego, is a little person. Is a little person who comes out in the morning and then he does a lots of things in this world. He gets beaten a lot from everywhere and he enjoys this world a little bit in the day. And then in the night he goes back to where he has come from. And the same thing, you will see the next verse also Krishna says that. Isn't it? What does he say? Bodhagramasa evayam bhutva bhutva pradiyade yatri agame avashapartha prabhavadi haragame. 19th verse. Bodhagramasa evayam bhutva bhutva pradiyade. He says, again and again, when Brahma's day arrives, all living entities come into being. And with the arrival of Brahma's night, they are helplessly annihilated. Now when you read these verses, you will think it only happens at the end of Lord Brahma. It's not like that. That's not how you study Bhagavad Gita, because then you are not bothered about it. What's going to happen after Brahma's lifetime? No, it's happening. Everything what rishis have told us is all happening every day in our life. That's how you have to look at it. Every day it's happening right in this body. It is happening. That's what Krishna is saying here also. Bhudagramasa evayam bhutva bhutva pralayade. Prabhupada used to say this word all the time. But many people have taken it that, oh, it's only going to happen at the end of Brahma's time. The subtlety of that verse I'm just mentioning here. That all living entities come into being in the day and with the arrival of Brahma's night they are helplessly annihilated. And in the night time you can see, you are helpless about it, is it not? When the false ego goes and dissolves in the deep sleep state, it is not out of in your control, it's not in my control, it just happens and you are gone. That one who has come out, the small man who has come out in the morning and done all these things during the day, all kinds of good thing and bad thing, everything whatever he has done and suffered a lot here, he goes back in the night and goes and gets annihilated in the night. Prabhupada uses the word annihilated. Annihilated he is. He's not there. Where is he? Where is he gone? So, those two words says, is based on the Sushupti state. Again, you can see. Those two, 18th and 19th verses, both are based on the Sushupti state. Do not worry about Brahma's date and all that. That is another way of saying that. But it is directly in relationship with, because rishis, whatever they have spoken, they wanted that to relate with our life in this world. Otherwise, what does it, if it becomes a history book, what's the use? It is all pointing out to our existence in this world. What we are living here, when we are living here. How we are existing here. That's what the rishis are telling us. That bodhagrama sevayam bhutva bhutva praliyate and ratriagame avasha partha prabhavati aharagame. Ratriagame avasha partha. He is helpless, avasha he is helpless about it. I mean, it's such an amazing thing what the rishis have found out, for which we have never given any serious thought about it. Is it not? How alma in the night time, how it withdraws from the world, along with that it withdraws us as well, along with that, is it not? And goes into this deep sleep, where there is no indication of our identity, who we are. Body is not there, mind is not there, senses are not there, and including we are not there. The we, who individual, all of us, who are driving around, running around, doing so many things, making so many plans, he also goes along with that in the night. That is the beauty of these two verses. So, 18th and 19th verses are important, and that is what Krishna is bringing back here in this chapter also. He is pointing out to us. So, and it is that person who comes out in the morning and he goes in the night and goes away. He is the one who is saying, I am a man, I am a woman. And he says, I am a big person, I am a small person, I am educated, I am not educated. And this activity happens from the smallest living entity right up to Lord Brahma. The same thing applies, including Lord Brahma. Brahma also, when he goes to sleep, this is the same situation. It happens to him. And so, right from this small living entity, right up to Brahma, that person who comes out, he expresses himself in a particular form, and then he disappears. This is all life about. Life is all that much. That in the day, in the morning, he comes out from that avyaktam, unmanifested situation. He comes out, expresses himself in some different forms. One expresses as Brahma, one expresses as an ordinary person in this world, man in this world. One expresses as a demigod, one expresses as a demon, one expresses as a devotee, one expresses as something else. But that person who is coming out from that unlimited thing in the morning, and then who, for our day is shorter, Brahma's day is longer, that's all. But that is also another ego like us, which has come from avyaktam. Which has also come from avyaktam. That's what Krishna is saying here. Avyaktar vyaktaya sarve. We must understand these words as well. Prabhavandi aharagame, ratri agame praliyande, tatrai avyakta samyage. Bhudagramasa evayam, bhutva bhutva praliyate. Bhutva bhutva praliyate. Ratri agame avasha partha, prabhavadi aharagame. Krishna says these two verses. And all it says is that it comes out in the morning, expresses itself in some form as a man or woman, or American or European or Indian, whatever it is, and Prime Minister, President, or whichever position he has, in all different levels, it comes out and plays its role. In the night it goes back. And this goes on for a short period of time in our human life, for example, 60 years, 70 years. In Brahma's life, it lasts for 404 billion or 3 billion years. That's all the difference is. It's all based on time. It is calculated that way. But what important here thing to know is this, that vastu, that person who is coming out in the morning and expressing himself as a man, woman, boy, or a American, European, Indian, or whatever it is, when it goes back in the night, he has no identity, isn't it? He has no identity anymore. Why? Because he has gone to avyaktam. Avyakta means unmanifested. To the unmanifested one, he has gone and joined that. Then he comes out from that. It's a very important thing to know that this is what we are in reality. So that's what Krishna is saying here. So here, so when you look at these forms, when he comes out in the morning, this little man, when he comes out in the morning, everything is different for him, isn't it? He's looking at things and he sees that everything is different. So when you look at the ocean, for example, when we will say a big wave is coming or a small wave is coming, we will say when the waves are coming in the ocean, isn't it? But when you get very closer to the ocean and look at it, you will see that they are not different from the ocean. That itself is the ocean, isn't it? So this big wave, small wave, these are all nothing but an expression of the sea, of the ocean. It's nothing, expression of the ocean. So similarly, actually it is only Krishna there, everywhere. And he is expressing in these different forms. Man, woman, boy, girl. And similarly, a rich man, a poor man, an old man and a young person, and American, European, or whatever different designations. It is the same one force that is expressing in all these different bodies, isn't it? So, in all the bodies, in the form of Namarupam, name and form, it is he who is present there. If you realize it all the time, when we are looking at the world, looking at the personalities, looking at the creation, if this realization happens, then material existence is gone. Material existence is over. And then after that, then there is no sannyasam, there is no tyagam. Sannyasam and tyagam is not there. Because once you have realized this, then what sannyasam can you have? What will you do sannyasam for? Sannyasam means to nyasam. Nyasam means to give up. What nyasam can you do then? You can't do anything because there's only one reality, absolute reality existing in everyone. And once you realize that, what sannyasam can you have and what tyagam you can have? That, and where is the samsaram then? Samsaram is also gone. So here you can see this samsaram itself is what they refer to as the freedom from the samsaram. Samsaram itself is nirvanam. Nirvanam also is samsaram. Because samsaram, in Srimad Bhagavatam you will see, when Lord Brahma was subdued by Krishna, is it not? Remember that Brahma Vimohana Leela, one of the most important chapters in the 10th canto, that is. Why? Because to show to us that Brahma also fell into some illusion about Krishna's position. And he wanted to test Krishna's authority. When this happened, Krishna decided that this is the right opportunity to make Brahma understand what is the reality. So that pastime, if you study properly, you will understand. There's a lot of things there. And finally, when Brahma surrendered to Krishna, because he lost his job, as you know, that he went back. When he went there, back to his office, he saw another Brahma sitting in the office. And the gatekeepers there, they stopped the Brahma getting in. So they told him, who are you? They said to him. He said to them that I pay you salary and you're asking me who I am. He said, they didn't care for him. So he got so upset, he realized it that he shouldn't have played this game with Krishna. He comes back here and then there is a prayer in the Bhagavadam, Bhakti, Jnanam, Vairagyam. All these three things combined together, one of the most famous prayers in the Srimad Bhagavadam is Brahmastuti. About 60-70 verses. If you look into Bhagavatam, you will see those verses. And there, he says here that this whole creation itself is nothing but Krishna's Leela. Here you cannot question anything. What is going on here? If you look in the 10th canto, the 14th chapter, that is Brahmastuti. In that 14th chapter, there is a verse there. This is Brahma's final realization. He says that
prapanjam nishpravanjobi vidambayasi bhutale prapanna janadananda sandoham pradidham prabho. After losing the job, he practically made redundant, lost his job there in the Brahma's job. He comes back and then he falls at Krishna's feet and started paying obeisances to Krishna. So Krishna was not looking even at Brahma, completely ignored him. All that is interesting things in this Brahmastri. He completely ignored him because when he paid his obeisances, he has got four heads, isn't it? So one of them were down, but the other were up. Because you can imagine, you pay your obeisance, if I got a head here, it will be looking that way, isn't it? Opposite side. So he's looking at that. So all the cowherd boys and all saw this a new person with the four heads. And they were looking, he's paying obeisances, but while paying the obeisances, the head is looking up. So they thought that in his world, that may be the way people pay obeisances. Not head down, but it's head the other way, opposite way. So they're all making fun of Brahma. So Brahma says to Krishna, if they capture me and put me in a zoo, saying that it's a very special animal that has come here with the four heads, people start looking at him in that way. He says here, prabanjam nishprabanjobi vidambayasi bhudale prapanna janadananda sandoham pradidum prabho. Then he says that I understood now who you are and I shouldn't have done this. He says, I shouldn't have tried to do this with you because prapanna janadananda sandoham pradidum prabho. There he is saying there that jananda eva janandu. What I have realized today, others don't realize it so easily. If they want to realize it, let them realize it. Kim bahuktya name prabho. What is the point in me to talk about it so much? Brahma says, manaso vapusho vajo vaibhavam tava gocharam. With my mind, with my body, or with my words, I cannot explain your actions. I cannot explain your actions. Anijani himam Krishna. Sarvam tam velsi sarvadrik. Tvameva jagadamada jagade tatavarpidam. So when Brahma mentioned these words, what Brahma realized at that point? And knowing that, in that particular way, Brahma has realized it, to realize Krishna. And that is what is called moksham sannyasam. Sannyasam moksham, when we say, is this, what Brahma is saying here. Brahma realized it at that point. Of course, Krishna's grace was there behind that. Brahma realized it that he has no existence. Up to that point, he was thinking, I am a separate officer, big officer in the Brahmalokam. I have somebody, I am somebody. But Krishna has made him realize it that you are nobody. In this creation, nobody has any value. That is the important thing. Only Krishna has value. So Krishna will teach this lesson as and when somebody gets that understanding that they are somebody. That will come to them in some form or the other. Brahma had to face that. We say all these things about Brahma, and Brahma is supposed to be our first acharya in the parampara. First acharya in the parampara had to go through this. If he had to bear with this, what is about our situation? So there, as far as Krishna is concerned, in these issues, there is no concession at all. Wherever there is that, Krishna is saying to us that avyaktam, avyaktam, Krishna is talking about, that's Krishna. When you refer to avyaktam as a person, it's Krishna. But from avyaktam has come Brahma also like us. But when that ego became strong and felt like questioning Krishna, avyaktam swallowed him. Avyaktam swallowed him. And avyaktam will swallow all of us if our ego builds up inside. That's all if we have to know. Nothing more than that. If we know that much, that's enough. And that's what Krishna is saying here, that this moksham, sannyasam and all, when we are talking about, Brahma has put it in the form of some two nice verses. What he is saying here? Prapanjam nishprapanjovi vidambayasi bhudhane. He says, prapanjam nishprapanjovi. Prapanjam means this creation. This creation is nishprapanjam. It cannot function if Krishna is not there in this prapanjam. Is it not? If Krishna is not in this prapanjam cannot function.
Material creation has no meaning. It's dead matter then. Nothing will work here without His presence inside. So only when Krishna is there, everything has some life. Otherwise, it has no life. That includes all of us and includes Brahma as well. That's why Brahma is saying like that. Prapancham nishprapanchovi vidambayasi bhudale. And prapanna janada ananda sandoham pratidham prabho. Prapanna janada ananda sandoham pratidham prabho. And it is only Krishna's presence in this world gives some reality to this world and some meaning to this creation. If Chaitanyam, living force, is not there, what is this dead matter? It's just dead matter, isn't it? Because Chaitanyam is there, we are experiencing the beauty of the world. Because Chaitanyam is there, we are able to enjoy through the senses these sense objects. Otherwise, nothing here. It's just dead matter. It has no meaning at all. So here, coming back to this important point, Arjuna is asking to Krishna this question about Tyagam and Sannyasam. So Krishna is saying here that all your karma, when it is for the pleasure of Krishna, when it is for Krishna's purpose, your desire for the results will go, Arjuna. That means if all the karma is directed towards Krishna, the same Bhagavatam principle, Kayena Vaja, Manasendriyarva, Bhudyalpanava, Prakrate, Subhava. According to our Subhava, all the karma, if it is only for Krishna's pleasure, if it is happening, then what will happen? You won't desire the results from that, is it not? When you are doing it for yourself, you want the results. But suppose you are doing it for Krishna's result, Krishna's happiness, or to Krishna's pleasure. If all body, mind, senses, everything is always operating for Krishna's pleasure, then the results will not matter. You won't be so concerned about the results. So at that time, kamya karma will not be there. It becomes kamya karma, means fruitive activity. It becomes fruitive activity because you desire the results from that. And I want this result, I want that result. That means if you become like a beggar all the time, then it becomes very difficult. For example, they give this example. Suppose at home there's a good feast with all nice sweets and payasam, everything very nicely organized at home. Then you don't have to go out with a begging bowl for food, is it not? So you won't go. So they say, grihastam payasam tektva bhikshadanam durmatihi. I think it's from the Yoga system, it says. Grihastam payasam tektva. Payasam is the sweet rice and all is payasam. So that means you have a big feast at home with everything. Everything is at home. Will you give up all these things and go for bhiksha outside? Bhikshadanam durmatihi. So he will not go. That means he is stupid if he is doing that. Similarly, if kamya karma, fruitive activities, goes away, then it becomes sannyasam. Then it becomes sannyasam. Krishna is saying, some rishis have spoken like this. That's how Krishna puts it. Some rishis have spoken like this. And then, sarva karma bhalatyagam. Sarva karma bhalatyagam. That means, finding it difficult to give up the results of the karma. Finding it difficult to give up the fruitive activities. But after doing all the karma, he is able to give the results for, give up the results. That he is able to do. Karma means finding it difficult to give up. Kamya karma. So, sarva karma bhalatyagam. See that verse in the Krishna. Krishna says that in the 18th chapter, sannyasam, he says there, kamyanam karmanam nyasam sannyasam kavayo vidu. You see the way how Krishna has put that. He says, kamyanam karmanam nyasam sannyasam kavayo vidu. Rishis are saying like this. Then he is also saying, sarva karma phalatyagam prahu tyagam vichakshana. Giving up the results of all the karma. That is all called tyagam. Karma phalatyagam vichakshana. So suppose you are doing karma, a lot of karma.
according to your vasana, it's coming, or prakriti or svabhavam, it's coming out. And that, like Bhagavatam says, kayena vaja manasendriyarava buddhyalpanava prakrite svabhaval. According to our prakriti, it's coming out through the body. Karomi yadyat sakalam parasmai narayanayedi samarpayami. While doing the karma, you didn't think about it, and you can't think about it, because karma is not in your control. Actually, karma is controlled by prakriti, svabhava. That will control, isn't it? That will depend upon our emotions, our nature inside, what it is. According to that, we have done the karma in this world, isn't it? So after doing the karma, karma has come through. I couldn't do anything about it. I had to act in that way because that was my prakriti, we can say, or my svabhava, or the vasana inside me. So according to my svabhava, I have done all that karma. And then, and after that, I say to Krishna, I can't do anything about it. You have to see the difference between the first two lines and the second two lines. It's very interesting if you take notice of it. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you know the Kaliyan, our Kaliya, said to Krishna. What did he say to him? Then Krishna says to Kaliya, why you are spitting this poison everywhere like this? So, so he says to him, Kaliyan says, what can I do? He said, who gave me this poison? You gave it to me. You gave it to me. And because you gave me poison, I'm throwing this poison out. Instead of poison, if you have given me nectar, I'll throw the nectar out all the time, wouldn't I? Kaliyan has a good logic. We are all in the same city. We are all little Kaliyas, that's all. The difference is, our vasana is not, is also similarly. This is a vasana inside, what can I do? I have to act according to my vasana. I can't do anything about it. So, like he said, Kaliya said to him, said to Krishna, that what I have got inside is poison. So what did I do? Visham samarpayami. I offer my visham to you. That's what I have got. Narayanayadi samarpayami. That's what the verse is saying. Kaliya says, I am offering to you what you have given it to me. He said, so if you have given me payasam, I will offer payasam to you. But if you have given me poison, I can only offer poison. So because you have given me this body, and you have given me poison in this body, I am doing this. But he asks, some human being also are throwing poison out. Isn't it? So, this is the svabhavam inside. And though he mentions there, svabhavam dustyajo natha, Kaliya said to Krishna, this svabhavam is one thing, cannot be given up. Cannot be given up. It's not so easy. One svabhavam will always remain inside. That will not go away. We have to recognize these things. It's no point in artificially presenting to the world, oh, I am this, I am that. It will all be a drama. It won't work. Is it not? So, svabhavam dustyajo natha. This is the reason why in Ekadasham, when Uddhava asked the question, Krishna says to Uddhava, svabhava vijayam shaviryam. If somehow or the other you manage to control your svabhavam, then you are a hero, Krishna says to Uddhava. You are a hero then. Because svabhavam will come out sometime in some form. It cannot be. So he says here, svabhavam you cannot change it. So therefore I am offering my svabhavam to you. Kaliya has beaten Krishna a lot and tried to coil around him and crush Krishna and bite him all over the body and had a long battle with each other. Isn't it? The Kaliya Mardhanam story in the Bhagavatam, when you read that. So this svabhavam is not mine, Kaliya says, that you have given it to me. It's not me. I hadn't had anything else before. And this is not my prakriti. So this prakriti, what we say, we have to recognize. Suppose you are doing something according to your prakriti, you have to remember that that prakriti has also come from Krishna. Krishna has given that prakriti to you. But the success of that is offering that prakriti to Krishna. As Krishna has given it to me, I am giving it to Krishna. According to my prakriti, Krishna has given me something. Whatever that's coming from that, also I will offer it back to Krishna. That is why, that is what is called sarva karma bhalatyagam. That word there. If you look at it, that the second and third and fourth line. Sarva karma bhalatyagam prahu tyagam vijakshana.
When this happens, it is called Tyagam. You see? So, Kamyanam Karmanam Nyasam Sanyasam Kavayo Vidu. First two lines. Kamyanam Karmanam Nyasam Sanyasam Kavayo Vidu. Then, Sarva Karma Bhalatyagam Prahu Tyagam Vijakshana. Say, interesting words. Here, Krishna is saying here that the first thing is that recognizing this, that Kamyanam Karmanam Nyasam, that Kamya Karmam, you have come out of fruitive activity. No more fruitive activity in this world. Fruitive activity. Kamyanam Karmanam Nyasam. Therefore, no Kamya Karmam. That means there is no more desire to engage in karmam here, which is a very higher state, which is not so easy for most of the people, isn't it? The majority, 99.9%, is impossible to stay in that state. Kamyanam karmanam nyasam, sanyasam. That is impossible. That means you are in a perfectly in a realized state of full of knowledge inside. But the second part, sarva karma bhalatyagam, there is that means that you have done karma. You couldn't stop doing karma. Whereas in the first one, you are not doing karma. Karma itself you have withdrawn. When we say karma, withdrawn from karma means nitya karma you have to do. That you will not give it up. Which means maintaining the body, bathing, waking up, taking prasadam, sleeping. All that is nitya karma. There is no problem with that. Because that does not create any vasana inside. That's a nitya karma. But kamya karma, if you exclude all this, remaining thing what you do in every day is kamya karma. Is it not? And kamya karma is difficult to give up. Kamya karma is difficult. Only for yanis who are in a very higher state of realization, they can stay away from karma easily. So, the second part is more important in that sense. Sarva karma phala tyagam. Prahu tyagam vijakshana. So, that is the difference between sannyasam and tyagam. You see that? Is that clear? The first two lines refer to proper sannyasam. Last two lines refers to tyagam. It is called sannyasam when you have reached the state where nitya karmam you will do, kamya karmam you won't do anymore. You can remain like that in life. Kamya karma means not in your life at all. Purely nitya karma only. Nitya karma you are allowed. Nitya karma doesn't cause any problem. The second part is sarva karma bhalatyaga. Because those who cannot give up kamya karma, but they will do the kamya karma, but at the same time, after doing all the kamya karma, when the results come, it is like this. How? Kayena vaja manasendriyarva buddhyalpanava prakrde svabhaval karoti yadyat sagalam parasmai narayanaya adi samarpayami. So, if you have come to this second part of the verse, which will be majority of the people in this world, those who are, again, there also you have to follow this understanding in the Bhagavadam. This understanding in the Bhagavadam. So, that is what Krishna is saying. Important thing that the prakriti, that means through prakriti, whatever karma has come to us, any karma, doesn't matter, whatever karma that has come to us, that karma has to be done, but sarva karma bhalatyagam. Manase prakriti svabhaval karodi yadir sagalam parasmi narayana yadir samarpayami. If that happens, then it is tyagam. Then it is tyagam. Then it is tyagam. So, that is why he says here, Prahu Tyagam Vijakshana. Prahu Tyagam Vijakshana. So, so this Tyagam, as it says here, who says this? Vijakshana. Krishna uses the word Vijakshana. Vijakshana means those who have practiced it very well and succeeded in that. Have practiced it and succeeded in that. Those rishis, they are saying that. That's how Krishna says. First one, he says, sannyasam kavayo vidu. Kavi or the rishis are saying. And then the second part also, he says, prahu tyagam vijakshana. Vijakshana, they are saying. So, after reading that verse, what we have to realize is, the secret of life is tyagam. sacrificing things in life. And that is the secret. Because after doing everything in this world, you have to continuously give things away. If you keep on holding it back, it will become a load on the back. This is the message. This is the message. That if you want to go in the spiritual path, that means, we remember in the beginning we mentioned this. First of all, we want freedom, isn't it? Freedom from the body. That's our biggest problem. Outside things you can give up to some extent, but freedom from the body, how is that possible? And that is what Krishna is explaining about the sannyasam and tyagam. He says that anytime when results are coming, knowing very well that it is Krishna's handing over to Krishna. But while handing over to Krishna, you have to recognize that those who are receiving is all Krishna's manifestation in this world, and hand over to them. Not seeing them as individuals, personality. You shouldn't do that. Not give it anybody, seeing that they are individual personalities. So this is where this difference is. You see, social service and bhakti, there is a big difference. Social service and bhakti is a difference. And you will only realize it when you look at it very carefully. So in social service, I am a person. The man who is, the one who is receiving, he is a person. And I am doing some favor for him, to help him, and personality remains. In bhakti, and what happens is, when you, in that consciousness, if you give anything, everything what you give, it will remain inside us. It will stay inside us in some form. A part of that will stay inside us. And whenever you give something, every good thing what you have done or given to somebody, it will develop another root inside, only then it will go from inside. That is the problem. And that is why this tyagam is different than social service. When Krishna is referring to tyagam, tyagam is based on bhakti. Here what's happening is, recognizing Krishna is present everywhere, everything that has come in life, you are handing it over back to him. Not considering who is getting, what is getting, who is giving, even that consideration is not there. Recognizing that it's Krishna's and giving, that is what that bhavadvaidam, kriyadvaidam and all about. Though recognizing that, that means without allowing that dhanam to plant anything inside, plant any seed inside, it happens in such a way, it goes away from us. And if you do it, you will know it yourself. You can practice and try it and see how it works. That the greatness of this shastram, you can only realize this in the vyavaharam. Only in the transactions you will realize it. So any good thing what you do in this world, you can see. Normally any good thing you try to, it will normally put some stone inside and only then it will go. Only then it will go. So this is the reason that not only bad things, in people who have done good things also, they suffer in this world. You can see this sometimes. People suffer in this world who have done good things also. The reason is this, that they are saying that I have done so much for them and ultimately they have treated me like this, or they are so ungrateful, or things like that will come up in life. And there is no point in doing anything for them. They don't show any gratitude. People, you will see this, people saying like this in life. So if that should not happen, if that happens, that means that the karma, when you have done that, it has not gone away from inside. It has left some mark inside and gone when the charity was done. So when charity is done, it has to have this concept very strongly inside, what Krishna is saying here. Sarva karma bhala tyagam prahu tyagam vijakshana. That vijakshana means rishis, they have experimented on all these things. And they have found out, if karma bhala tyagam is on this principle, that without expectation of any results from that, and you have just done that with this understanding. What that understanding is? Understanding is this, that in this world there is only Krishna present everywhere. In all the living entities, all communities, societies, whatever we call it. You are doing it for praising Krishna. You are handing it over to Krishna. Seeing them as Krishna and recognizing them as Krishna, if you do it, it will not cause any problems inside. It's gone. It's gone with that. You are not expecting anything from that. Whereas in the material life, you can see material transaction. We always say this also, isn't it? I have done so many favors for him. He owe me one. We say that, isn't it? In the offices, everywhere people say like this. That I've done so many favors for him. He owe me this. He owe me that. That means inside, I'm very strong that I'm expecting this from him sometime. That is not allowed in the spiritual life. That's not allowed. You have to hand over with this higher concept inside. Only then it is tyagam. Otherwise it's not tyagam. It's done for Krishna. It is Krishna has come to me. It's come through this body because of my sabhavam and pragriti. I've handed it over back to Krishna. That's finished the business there. No more asking questions about that. Why it has happened. And then still keeping a attachment to it or any control over it or any such thing is not allowed. It's not allowed. That is what Krishna is saying here also. This subtle difference, we have to know it when we doing this. So you are not giving to an individual there. You are giving it to Krishna. When you are doing that, you are actually giving it to Krishna, not to an individual. Because often this comes, you can see in institutions also, some people, this fundraising and all that, at that point this issue will always come up. Because some particular person has a particular relationship with someone, that you are thinking that I am giving it to him. Actually, you cannot give like that charity. That's not charity. That's considered to be against the principle, what Krishna is saying. These higher values must prevail in the spiritual life. Otherwise, it will make like a material transaction. So that is why you are not giving it to a person. You are actually handing it over back to Krishna. It has come, it has gone back. So while giving that, you have to remember this, that inside that person, whomever you are handing it over to him, there is that Antaryami who is present inside, Krishna who is present inside, and he is receiving that. He is addressed as Sri Hari. Hari who is present in that person, he is receiving that from me. And Krishna is receiving, Supreme Personality Krishna is receiving that. You may say that, oh, I can't see that person who is sitting there, isn't it? So, while giving it, he is a person for us in the bodily identity, isn't it? And the next day when he sees you, you may expect that, that, oh, he has not shown any respect to me, although I have done all these things for him. And if you, and he sometimes, because he is a person, he may show some respect to you. He may show some respect to you. So, when somebody does like that a few times, then what happens? Then you will start, oh, I will only give it to him because he is very respectful to me. You'll start thinking like that, isn't it? So, for us, personality is important. In our dealings, I'm saying. For us, in all our dealings, personality is important. And either we will receive some benefit from that, material benefit, or we want some respect from that, from the charity, isn't it? Both are equally wrong, equally wrong. Because, in fact, if you receive some benefit from that person, it's better. Rather than, because, suppose you have received something, benefit, material benefit from that person, in due course of time, that will go away. That will go away. But if you expect some respect from people after that, if you start expecting any kinds of, in the form of respect, if you are expecting some results from that, and if you are getting it from that person, in that case, it's a bigger, bigger result, and that is also a material existence. That's also material existence. These are subtle things, and if you give time to think about it, you will get it why it is like that. Because it's a kind of a psychic enslavement. It's a psychic enslavement. It is more powerful than physical enslavement. Psychic enslavement is a more powerful enslavement than a physical enslavement. Physically, you can tie a person down. But stronger than that is if you tie down a person with emotional level. Is it not? You know that. Physically you tie a person down, it's not so bad. But if you tie down a person in an emotional level, it's worse. It is worse, isn't it? So, therefore, when we expect that, when we see that person, he has to offer respect and all these thoughts will come to your mind. So, and then you'll get into serious problem. And therefore, Samvidai Dheyam, Shruti says that while giving charity, give the charity with knowledge, in knowledge, in knowledge. Always remember, giving it to Antaryami, who is present in that person, I'm giving it to that Antaryami with that understanding. You can't see the Antaryami, but wherever possible, this awareness should be there while giving it at that time. Till we realize the Antaryami inside, or if you are able to come to that understanding, we have to continue practicing that wherever absorbed in any kind of service or charity. Any service when we do, or any charity we do, any activity, this anusandhanam, they call it. Anusandhanam means this process we have to follow. So, and if it is done like that, in course of time, there will be an insight in the person properly. What is that insight? The insight is like this. You'll learn this one thing, you keep on giving and you'll start forgetting about it. You won't keep anymore in your mind anymore. I've done this, I've done this, I've done this. Those things will disappear from inside. Whole life, some people in an elevated state, they have learned this game, how to continuously give, but it's never kept inside in their mind anymore. So, nothing will remain lodged inside. Otherwise, it will all be lodged inside. Everything what is given away. And you may not even remember what you have given to others within yourself. This forgetfulness is a blessing from Krishna. Forgetfulness. So, whatever we have done, good things in this world, we should forget. Good things, we should forget. Devotee says to Krishna that, all good things I have done, let me forget it. All the good things I have done. So, that is Krishna's mercy. That's Krishna's grace. And which, if it happens, then those things would not be lodged inside, that we have done all these things. And that is what this Sarva Dharma Bharatyagam covers, all these things, what we have spoken. That word is not a simple 2-3 letters, Sarva Dharma Bharatyagam. When Krishna is saying Sarva Dharma Bharatyagam, what does that Sarva Dharma Bharatyagam carry with it? All these has to go along with it. Otherwise, it's not Sarva Dharma Bharatyagam. Sarvarma Bharatyagam is not that, oh, I got so much money, I handed over that. And then I told everybody, look, I've given this money to you, let me see how he's going to do with that money. That's not Sarvarma Bharatyagam. Sarvarma Bharatyagam is this understanding behind it. That's more important. So, karmam, after executing karmam, because what Krishna is saying here is to make us aware that how karmam is affecting you in the life. So, to escape from karma, he gave us these two options, sannyasam and tyagam. Is it not? To escape from karma, these two options of sannyasam and tyagam. But sannyasam is not an easy thing. That's only possible for whom karma vasana has gone away. For them it's possible. But that is not the case with majority of the people. For most of the people, the option is sarva karma bharatyagam. But that sarva karma bharatyagam has to be under the guidance of all these rules what we have spoken. Without any kind, it should not leave a scratch inside when that karma phala tyagam happens. It should leave us in such a way that the whole weight has to go from inside. If it puts back any kind of stamp inside, mark back inside, then it has not left us. That karma is not complete. Because karmam and bhalam, this is what create material existence. Karmam and bhalam. Karmam, bhalam. So, and that is what samsara, material existence means, isn't it? That's why it said, kriti mahodhatau padana karanam bhalam ashashvatam gati nirodhagam. About karmam it is spoken. that samsaram kriti mahotado padana karanam. Padana karanam means the cause of fall down. Cause of fall down. So this samsaram, material existence, in what is the reason we have fallen into this samsaram? Cause of karma phalam. Karma phalam. And this phalam is ashashwaram. It is temporary. It is temporary. Any karma if you take, the after effect of that karma is very limited. It's very limited. For a short period of time it exists, isn't it? And it creates an effect inside this karma. The result is temporary. It doesn't last very long. But the effect that it creates inside is much more than the results what you got from that. That is the problem. And what does it do? It creates avidya inside. And that avidya is the one which covers the soul. Which covers the soul. So our swarupam, our identity, which is akhandam, unbroken pure consciousness, it gets covered by this karmam, karma phalam. Because it, what it does is it creates an impact inside. Then it creates an effect inside in the form of avidya, that karmam. Karmam, the phalam, the gross effect of the karmam, that will disappear after a while. It will not stay forever. Is it not? But the effect of that karmam that creates inside, that avidya what it has created, it remains as a permanent cover in front of the soul. It's a permanent cover in front of the soul. So, that is why it mentions there that it has created one more knot inside. Already there is so many knots inside. This has created another knot inside. Gadi nirodhagam. It says in that verse. Gadi nirodhagam phalam ashashwadam gadi nirodhagam. Gadi nirodhagam means you are going in the spiritual direction. It puts another block in the front. It puts another block in the front. So, if it is like that, is it possible not to do the karma? That's not so not possible. Because vasana is inside. Subhavam is inside. Prakriti is inside. So, it says, Ishwararpitam karma sadhagam. It has to be offered to Krishna. It is offered to Krishna. So when that is done like that, Krishna is saying here, this is the opinion of some of the rishis. That's how Krishna puts it. Have you noticed that? This is the opinion of some of the rishis. You see, in spiritual life, there is no one answer to any of these questions. Individually, we have to take these instructions from the great personality. That rishis are telling us so many different subtle side of the our life in this world. We have to connect that and bring it the principles into one's own life and see how that affects us, the after effect of that. That's the way to progress in spiritual life. Otherwise nobody can tell you that that's what you have to do, because each one of us, our vasanas are different, our prakriti is different, our sabhavam is different. Therefore our karma will be different. So karma bhalam also will be different. But the underlying principle in all these things is all what Krishna is talking about. Sarva karma bhalatyagam. When he says sarva karma bhalatyagam, it includes all these things what we have spoken so far. That all has to be kept in mind with that. Prahu tyagam vijakshana. Because the experts are saying, vijakshana means experts in that. It is their opinion, Krishna is saying like that. Prahu tyagam vijakshana. So two opinions Krishna said. First he said about the kamyanam karmanam nyasam sanyasam kavayo vidu. What is sanyasam is Krishna said. And then he said sarva karma bhalatyagam prahutyagam vijakshana. Sarva karma bhalatyagam prahutyagam vijakshana. So both things, sanyasam and tyagam, differ in this way. This is the difference between the two. When you look at it on the face value, you won't see it's not a big difference. But based on the person who is following that process, you will notice that sannyasam is a rare thing. Karma valatyagam is possible. Something can be done. Provided we apply all these things what Krishna has spoken. Krishna has spoken about it. So sarva karma bhalatyagam, when it comes, you have to make sure that it is in agreement with Bhagavatam. Otherwise it won't make sense. Because Bhagavata Dharmam is Krishna is presenting in another form here to Arjuna. Philosophically it's one and the same thing. There's no difference at all. what Krishna is saying to Arjuna or Krishna is saying to Uddhava. But spoken in two different ways. There it is, Kayena Vaja Manasendriva Buddhyatmanava Prakrute Subhaval Karomi Yadhyal Sakalam Prasmai. That is Bhagavata Dharma, it is pure definition of the Bhagavata Dharma, is that verse. And here, because it is Moksham Sannyasam Krishna is talking about, he is giving us a little bit more deeper understanding of that verse, how that has happened. So this 18th chapter is a very big chapter, and there is a lot of things to discuss also. So I was just thinking that if it is possible, we could have a class on Monday. That bank holiday day, if it is okay. 26th or 27th? 26th. Anil, if you wouldn't mind, please check it up if it is possible. Yeah. Morning we'll have it, so 4-5 hours will get. Because there's so many things in this chapter, which only when you start going through, you will see the subtlety of this chapter. Because it's the last chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. And it is the summary of the Bhagavad Gita, as I mentioned before. Krishna explained a summary in the second chapter. Then he expanded in the remaining 16 chapters. And finally he concludes, brings it all together in this 18th chapter. So you can see here, Krishna is picking up from the early chapters, the first chapters, Karma Yoga chapters. That's what's coming here now. So look at the next verse, how it goes further from there. Tyajyam doshavaditeke karma prahur manishinah yajna dana tapak karma natyajyam iti chapare tyajyam doshavaditeke karma prahur manishinah yajna dana tapak karma natyajyam iti chapare. Tyajyam doshavaditi ege karma prahu manishinaha yajna dana tapak karma natyajyam iti chapare. Natyajyam iti chapare. So some learned men, again Krishna is saying, some learned men, see, will never say, because Krishna is speaking also on the authority of the rishis, the sages. And it is through them that this Vaidika Samskaram has survived in this world, is it not? Personalities like Narada Maharshi, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Shukabrahma Maharshi, and Atri, Angiras, Vasishta, Vishwamitra, they are the personalities. And their authority will never be questioned. Their authority will never be questioned. They will always be kept inside whatever Krishna has spoken. So Krishna is saying here that some learned men declare that all kinds of fruitive activities should be given up as faulty. Yet other sages maintain that acts of sacrifice, charity and penance should never be abandoned. So even among the rishis, there is some differences of opinion about things. And in spiritual life, better not to look for one person's opinion. They are all highly realized souls, Durvasa, Vishwamitra, all of them very close associates of Krishna. Close associates of Krishna. It is through them all the Upanishads have come to this world. It is through them Vedas have come to this world. And they have, Krishna is saying, some learned men. Earlier he said in the last verse, Kavayo Vidu, one. Then he says, Vijakshana, another one. Different ways, about the same sages he is talking about. Some of them he addresses, calls them as Kavayo Vidu. Now he saying, next he said, Vijakshana. Now he is saying that the Manishina, he uses the word. Different way. Tyagam, some learned men, Manishina means that the great thinkers. As Prabhupada is translated there. Some learned men declare that all kinds of fruitive activities should be given up as faulty. Yajna dana taka karma na tyajam iti cha apare. He says that some others and the other sages maintain that acts of sacrifice, charity and penance should never be abandoned. Never be
abandoned. So here, Eke Abare says that so, yeah, in the last verse, that is in the second verse, Krishna said, Kavayo Vidu, isn't it? And then next he said, Vijakshana. Sannyasam, he said, Kavayo Vidu. And then Tyagam, when he talked about that, he said, Vijakshana. Vijakshana. First verse. So, first one is Kavayo Vidu. That means people who are knowledgeable and those who have performed some sadhana and austerities, tapas, perform them, and it is their opinion, the first one. First one. That means that is how that difference you have to get it, understand that. And therefore he called it as Kavayo Vidu. Then Sarva Karma Bhalatyagam. Here he is saying, in this verse, Krishna is saying, Tyajyam dosha vaditege karma prahur manishina. Karma prahur manishina. And yajna dana tapa karmam na tyajyam iti cha apare. Iti cha apare. So, when we say manishina, manishina is something like this. Manishina means they are thinkers, intelligent people. And what else is their qualifications? They are knowledgeable. And they also performed sadhana in life. Sadhana anushtanam. That means in their life they are practicing it. Anushtanam, through anushtanam. And performed tapas. And it is their opinion. First one. The second one, Krishna says here, that they are, which Krishna calls himself, them as, natyajam iticha apare. Who is this apare? Apare means, they have not done sadhana, but they have studied shastram. They have studied shastram. And they are not purely in the spiritual life. They are not purely in spiritual life. What they are saying is, that, you have to give up. And good things you should not give up. Good karma. Good karma. And that includes yajnam, dhanam, tapas. These are the good things, isn't it? Bad karma you have to give up. Good karma you should not give up. Bad karma you should give up. Bad karma you should give up. And yajnam, dhanam, tapas, they are all in the good category. And that should not be given up. This is their opinion. And that must be done. This is the opinion of those people. So, Tyajyam Doshavadi Tyege Karma Prahur Manishina. They are saying here, Tyajyam Doshavadi Tyege Karma Prahur Manishina. Those karma which is giving dosham. Dosham means problem. In some form, which are bad karma, in other words, certain karma which will create problem for others. For example, you can see every karma has its own after effect, is it not? So those karma should, so instead of giving, creating any problem for others, such karma should be avoided. You can see every karma is like that in this world, isn't it? All karma what we do, it's causing problem for somebody which we don't take into account in our life, is it not? There's very few karma which doesn't have that effect. Just like you can see, we need, say, oil and gas. We go to North Sea, we drill there for the oil and gas because we need oil and gas. Although it has some good effects, at the same time there's a lot of bad effects also, is it not? Coming from that, sometimes so many people lose their life in that process of oil exploration and all kinds of things, isn't it? Amount of heavy activities involved in that. And and they have to give up their life. So that's bad side of it, is it not? So like this, every karma if you look at,
banking, for example, and that money is going into the bank and somebody has made money out of it and gone, swindled a lot of money from there and the scandal happened. He's not thinking about those who lost the money, is it? He doesn't bother. He just leaves the money what he got. So that sort of activity is bad karma. There's no question about that. That means you have, due to your own bad intelligence, you have acted in such a way that you did not care for others. So many people lost money. So many people they put the whole country into risk in so many ways, is it not? So like this, every action, if you look at in the industry, in the business and in the modern world, you can see all karma has its bad after effects. So without taking into account all that, doing karma is not allowed. It's not allowed. So that is what he is saying here. That yajna danam tavam karmam. Yajna dana tava karmam. That is not to be given up. Yajnam danam tavasa. These are things which has to be done for the welfare of the world. It should be done. There is no harm in that. But those karma which has got bad after effects, they should be given up. They should be given up. After saying that, Krishna is going to mention his opinion about it. Now, this Krishna refers to others, what others are saying. So, normally we will say, bad karma we should not do. We also say like that, isn't it? Do a lot of good things in this world. But if you do it for a long period of time, we will understand that there is not a lot of difference between the good and the bad. Between the good and the bad. So, because from the good things also, bondage comes. Good things also, bondage comes. That we will see later, how it works, how it happens. So, there is a... So, simple examples they give many times. Acharyas talks about that, to explain this to us, how that happens. So, Paramacharya's explanation was like that. He sat in a room at one time, and then he was just noticing. He was sitting on the floor. Next to him, there was one bee lying there upside down. It has fallen near the light or something and fell off. When it fell off, it fell upside down. Now, you see these bees sometimes? If they fall upside down, they can't turn it back into their, you know, back to the top. So he is lying there, this bee is lying there. So some ants which were passing through, they get the message very quickly how their food is lying there. So they all came, a group of them, and started biting him. Biting this bee and trying to, he's not dead, he's still living. So, but the ants were taking advantage of his weak situation. They start biting and eating him piece by piece. So this Paramacharya told one of the devotees who was sitting there, I think the ants are going to finish him up now. He's still living. So turn him around, he said. So when they turned him around, what did he do first thing? He ate all the ants first. So you can understand from this how things happen in life. Is it not? If you look at these kind of things, you will immediately understand that our karma is also like that in many instances. You may do it with some good intentions, but the results what comes from that is not always that what you had in your mind before. Is it not? So, I mentioned the story also. Prabhupada mentions one story in Calcutta what happened. That he was walking through the street, a mother was beating up the child. One young boy, he was beating him. She was beating him. Prabhupada felt like asking her, why you beat? Prabhupada was an older person, asked her, why are you beating the child like this for nothing? She kept on beating him. So the mother told Prabhupada what happened was that this boy's sister is lying sick at home with typhoid. And when you have typhoid, normally don't give anything heavy food to eat, because then it raises the temperature in the body. So, mother gave strict instructions to this boy that you should not feed that your sister anything from the kitchen, take anything. But it so happened, mother was preparing something, some pakoras or whatever it was, kachoris or whatever it was in the kitchen, and the smell of that reached the girl who was lying in the room. She felt a strong desire to have it.
although she was sick, she couldn't ask the mother because mother won't give it because of the typhoid. What she did was she called her younger brother and told him that go and get something for me. Don't tell mother. Bring something from the kitchen. I want to have it. So the boy, out of her love for the sister, went to the kitchen, brought the sweets, whatever that was, savory or sweet, and gave it to her. And mother found out that he has done this. So he got the beating. He got the beating for that. Now, the boy has done with a good intention, but the result that come was in the negative way. So, Prabhupada explains there that we will say so many things, good things, we have done so many good things, we will say like that, and we will do a lot of these good things, what we consider as good. You can see that after a while, many things what you have done is good, it turns out to be bad. Even in spiritual life, it happens. You may have done with some good intentions, but after a while in this world, nothing remains. It all becomes completely spoiled and goes in another way. The founder, if he comes and sees what he has done and what has happened afterwards, he will get a shock himself. This is not what I wanted to do. But the same thing will happen in such a way that totally against what purpose for which he has instituted the institution, or purpose for which he has founded the institution, the whole, it will be going in another route. Completely, totally different. Although they will say, oh, we are all doing exactly what Prabhupada said. That it may not happen. It will not happen. It will go in another route itself. So that is what Krishna is saying here. You may think that it was a good thing what he has done, but good thing and bad thing, ultimately, it all becomes like this. It will all become like this. So the person who is doing a lot of good things in this world and a lot of bad things in this world, all of them are ultimately in the same category. As far as karma, because they are all in the same circle. What is that circle? Karma. They are all inside the circle of karma. So, so when you say you are doing something good, how do you know what is good? Then that question will always come. Is it not? So, from the point of view of karma, doing something that has come to you without any special effort. In a life, so many things come to you, isn't it? On its own way, it comes to you. Doing that is the good thing. That's the way they explain that. That means that Krishna also said this to Arjuna. You remember? He said to Arjuna the same thing. What is destiny for you is war. That's your destiny. Do that. Similarly, don't think about good or bad. This thinking about good and bad is not considered to be good. Not thinking good and bad is good. That's the way. It says in the Bhagavatam also, isn't it? Guna dosha drishir dosham gunastu bhayavarjita. That verse. So, good and bad, there is nothing special in this world to say something is good. Something is good. What has been given to you by destiny, accepting that is good. Accepting that is good. So, what is vidhi? They call it as vidhi, isn't it? The other word is niyati. Niyati means also destiny. What is destiny? Or, wherever Krishna has put us in whatever situation in life, in whatever situation Krishna has put us in this world, or whatever dress he has put us in this world, with that is good for us. That's the way to accept it. In whichever situation Krishna has put us in this world, accepting it as it is, without thinking that, this is very important, because normally we all get some misconception about spiritual life. Had I been in a pujari in the temple, I'd be perfectly situated in spiritual life. People start thinking like that, is it not? Or, if I had been doing some service at the temple, I'm properly situated. Whereas if I'm working outside for somebody earning salary, and they also start looking at you in the same way, thinking that, you're not serving in the temple, you're a fallen conditioned soul, I'm a fully liberated soul doing service to Krishna, and I'm properly situated. If this thought misunderstanding, that is, Krishna wants to remove that misunderstanding from the very beginning, to tell us that is not true. Krishna's point is,
you are in that particular situation due to some reason. It didn't happen automatically. You are not artificially presenting to the world something false. That is, your inborn nature is coming out through you and you are safe that way. Sthane sthidam sudigadam tanivan manobhir. Brahmastuti, Brahma says this to Krishna. Whatever position Krishna has put us in, accepting that Krishna has put me in this situation, this is what I am, I will live in this way. I will accept anything in this situation, what comes to me. That acceptance is a degree of surrender it is. It's an indication of a surrender inside. Because you are surrendering to a higher principle there. Principle is this. Krishna has put me in a situation like this. I am accepting that. I am not questioning that. Whatever it may be. Doesn't matter what it is. Namadev had a friend. Forget the name. He was a scavenger. You know, in the olden days when the toilets were not like today. They had toilets were cleaned by somebody. He had to remove everything, stool everything from every toilet. That was his job. Chokka Mela, and that's his name, Chokka Mela. You will read about him, you can see. Namadev's friend, self-realized soul and doing this work. Self-realized soul doing this work. He used to go in everybody's house, clean the toilets. That was his job. Never gave it up. Krishna has put me in this situation and this body is meant to do this work. He accepted it and did that whole life. That is surrender. That is that truthfulness and honesty in the person and surrender to the principle of Krishna consciousness. So here, the same thing Krishna is saying here, that Krishna has said, Prakriti had sent us in this world with a dress, a body like this and a particular vasana inside, a swabhavam inside, and this is what we are. We have come to this world like that. And it is not possible to change it overnight. It's not possible. When Krishna has put us in this body, in this condition, there was a purpose behind it. Why? Because only through that body, only through that vasanas will get released from the body. And that is where bringing these principles of Bhagavad Gita comes in. So Krishna says here that better not to think about it too much. So if you start analyzing it and start trying to modify it and change it, then you will fall into Maya. You will fall into Maya. So Krishna is now going to talking about his opinion. He says here that this yajnam dhanam tapasya. He says, yajnam dhanam tapasya, it should not be given up. It should not be given up. All that is good. All of them are good. Yajnam means, when you talk about yajnam, what does yajnam mean? Yajnam means, for example, in the Bhagavatam, when you refer to yajnam, is rajasuyam, ashwamedham. These are all yajnams. These are all yajnam. Now, there is also yajnam in the material life also. Now, upasana mandalam. Material life, there is yajnam. Yajnam means that things that is done for the benefit of others. So, for example, studying Srimad Bhagavatam or reading Srimad Bhagavatam, discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, that's also considered to be yajnam. Sattaha yajnam, it says in the Bhagavatam. Sattaha yajnam. So, a group of people joining together, sitting together, reading Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita and discussing it. And along with that, giving prasadam to a few people who are involved in that. So, if you do things like that, that is considered yajnam. In this sense. In the Vaidika terms, when you talk about, it is mostly referring to the big sacrifices. Rajasoyam, Ashwamedham, Adhiratram, all that is yajnam. That's all yajnam. In the modern world, when they are referring to this yajnam, is in a Upasana Mandalam. Upasana Mandalam means in the field of spiritual progress. For spiritual progress, a group of people getting together and engaging in the study of Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita and having some prasadam distributed to everybody, this is all considered to be part of that yajnam. Part of that yajnam. So, and what else? Yajnam dhanam. Suppose somebody you got money, then they spend it for a good purpose, for a good cause, something like that. Then there is tapasya. Tapasya means, tapasya for example, egadashi. Egadashi is a tapasya, upavasam, is tapasya. So, or chanting the holy name repeatedly, Sankirtanam, together for some time. And or continuously reading Srimad Bhagavatam is tapasya. Circumambulation in a temple, because normally these things are conducted in the temple environment. So normally what they'll do is, they have all devotees will go on a circumambulating the deity together, chanting the holy name. And then when they had done for some time, they will sit together and they will discuss Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita. And then when they feel hungry, they'll have some prasadam together. So all this is a part of it together. And circumambulation, all that. That's Upasana Mandala. Upasana Mandala means in the bhakti line, in the bhakti side. In the Jnana Margam, if you refer to this tapasya means inquiry of the self, meditations. And this is also tapasya. Krishna is saying all this is not to be given up. This is not to be given up. That only those kind of karma which will create disastrous results, that means it's painful to others or it's causing distress to others, that alone should be given up. And this is opinion of some other people. Now, after saying these two verses, now this is what we have read in this verse. That's what he's saying here. That means, Tyajyam doshavatyege karma prahur manishina yajna dana tapa karma na tyajyam iti chapare. That is what this is talking about. This verse, what Krishna has spoken about. So, after this, Krishna is giving his opinion. This is others' opinion. Some people, he said, Tyajyam doshavatyege karma prahur manishina. And manishina, yajna dana tava karma na tyajyam iti chavare. Manishina is saying that some learned men declare that all kinds of fruitive activity should be given up as faulty. Then, yet other sages maintain that acts of sacrifice, charity and penance should never be abandoned. So, that is what we have spoken about so far. Yatnyam dhanam tapasya. These people are saying, the second group, yatnyam dhanam tapasya should never be given up. The first group is saying, tyajyam doshavatyege karma prahur manishana. All karma should be given up. All kind of karma should be given up. Whereas the second group, yatnya dana tapa karma na tyajyam iti cha apare. Saying like that, Krishna is saying that. And then, both these two verses is not Krishna's opinion. These verses are not Krishna's opinion. Now, let's look at the next verse. That is Krishna's opinion. Text 4. Nischayam shrunume tatra tyage bharata sattama tyago hi purusha vyaghra trivida sambrakirtida nischayam shrunume tatra tyage bharata sattama tyago hi purusha vyakra trivida sambrakirtida. That's it. Nischayam shrunume tatra tyage bharata sattama tyago hi purusha vyakra trivida sambrakirtida. O best of the Bharatas, now hear my judgment about renunciation. O tiger among men, renunciation is declared in the scriptures to be of three kinds. To be of three kinds. So, we'll look at it after a few minutes. Chedho darpanam arjanam vamaha davagni nirvabanam shreyakaidava chandriga vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam Anandambudhi vardhanam pradipada purna amrita swadhanam sarvatna sovanam varam vijayade shri krishna sangeetanam nanamagari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatarpida nimida smaranena kala
ఏతాదృశీ తవ కృపా భగవన్ మమాభి దుర్దైవమీదృశమిహాజని మనుయాగాః తృణారవీషీచేన కరోరవీ సహిష్ణునాం మానినామానదేనా కీర్తనీయ సదా హరిం మదనం సుందరిం కవితాంబా జగదీశ కామయేం జన్మని జన్మనీశ్వరీ భవదాద్ భక్తిరహేతు విద్వయేం ఐనంద కింగరం పదినామాంశమే భవాంబుదౌ కృపయా తవ పాద పంకజ స్థిత దూళీ సదృశం విచిందయాం నయనం గలదశ్రుధారయా వదనం గద్గదరుద్దయా గిరా పులకైర్నిజిదం కదా వపో తవం నామ గ్రహణే భవిష్యతి యుదాయిదం నిమేషేణ చక్షుషా ప్రావిశాయిదం శూన్యాయిదం జగల్ సర్వం గోవింద విరహే నమే శ్రీశవా పాదరదాం వినష్టు మాం అదర్శనాం మర్మహదాం కరోతు వా యథా తథా వా విదదాదులంబడో మత్ప్రాణనాథా సునయేవ నాపరాం. నిశ్చయం శృణుమే తత్ర ద ఫోర్త్ వర్డ్స్ త్యాగే భరత సత్తమ త్యాగో హి పురుష వ్యాఘ్ర త్రివిధ సంప్రకీర్తిద ఓ బెస్ట్ ద భారతస్ నౌ హియర్ మై జడ్జ్మెంట్ అబౌట్ రెనన్సియేషన్ ఓ టైగర్ అమంగ్ మెన్ రెనన్సియేషన్ ఇస్ డిక్లైర్డ్ ఇన్ ద స్క్రిప్చర్స్ టు బి ఆఫ్ త్రీ కైండ్స్ సో ఇన్ ద వర్సెస్ ది థర్డ్ వర్డ్స్ where Tyagam was spoken. In the second verse, Krishna spoke about Sannyasam in the first two lines and Tyagam in the last two lines, the second part of that verse. Sarva Karma Bhala Tyagam, Prahu Tyagam Manishina. In the third verse, Krishna spoke about the opinion of Manishina, which means the great thinkers, their opinion about Tyagam, because Tyajyam Doshavatyege Karma Prahur Manishina. That is their opinion. Then, yajna dana tapa karmam na tyajam iti cha aparei. Other people who are not practicing it, but who are learned also at the same time, they are saying, yajna dana tapasya karmam, these should not be given up. This is their opinion. Then, in the next verse, fourth verse now, nishchayam shrume tatra tyage bharata sattama tyagohi purusha vyakra trivida samprakirtida. Krishna says, please hear my judgment about this and how renunciation is spoken. Renunciation is Tyagam again. How Tyagam is spoken in this Shastram of three kinds of Tyagam. That is what Krishna is saying here. So, earlier in that verse, Tyajyam Doshavaditya Karma Prahur Manishina, that is the third verse, యజ్ఞ దాన తప కర్మం న త్యాజ్యం ఇది చ అపరే ఇస్ ఇట్ నాట్ సో వై దే ఆర్ సేయింగ్ లైక్ దట్ జ్ఞానీస్ ఆర్ సేయింగ్ త్యాగం కర్మం షుడ్ బి త్యాజ్యం త్యాజ్యం మీన్స్ గివనం బికాస్ దేర్ ఒపీనియన్ ఈస్ కర్మం ఈస్ డ్యామేజింగ్ కర్మం ఈస్ డ్యామేజింగ్ దేర్ ఫార్ ఇట్ షుడ్ బి గివన్ అప్ హౌ ఇస్ ఇట్ డ్యామేజింగ్ బికాస్ ఇట్ పుట్స్ ఇన్ టు బాండేజ్ కర్మం క్రియేట్స్ బాండేజ్ ఇస్ అండ్ ఇట్ You know that cycle. Krishna spoken. Karmam. Karma create karma vasana. Karma vasana creates again karma. And karmam gives bhalam. And bhalam is vasana. Vasana gives karmam again. So like this, that cycle continues. Therefore, it should be given up. That's their opinion. And at the same time, they also have a point. Why? Because how does it come? Karmam comes in the form of raga dvesham. Is it not?
Ragam, Dvesham will come from karma. Some karma you will like, some karma you don't like. That's Raga Dvesham, attachment and aversion. That attachment aversion builds up inside. Towards karma also you develop attachment and aversion. Some karma you like it, some karma you don't like it. We know that in life, every one of us know that. Is it not? So, it is from that viewpoint, because it creates Raga Dvesham inside, and because it creates bondage inside, through Raga Dvesham bondage comes. Is it not? So, therefore they are saying that karma should be given up. Karma should be given up. Tatra eva yajnadana tapa karma na tyajam idija apare. But at the same time, others are saying, yajnam danam tapasya should not be given up. That should be continued. So, this contradicting situation, sankalpam or contradicting thing, is for those who are absorbed in the karma. Those who are absorbed in the karma. It does not belong to those sannyasis who are situated in the knowledge of the self. Jnanis. It doesn't apply to them. It applies to those who are engaged in karma. Remember that. Huh? That jnani, sannyasis who are jnanis, jnanam sannyasa lakshanam, isn't it? So those who have got jnanam, who have realization inside, high degree of realization, for them this doesn't apply. Because it doesn't create, even if they do karmam, they won't create ragadvesham for them. But those of us who have taken to spiritual life, but at the same time we are engaged in karma, and that karma is creating ragadvesham, it is about them, this discussion now. It's about them. So, so Krishna has spoken before that in his own words, Jnana yogena sanghyanam karma yogena yoginam, he says, isn't it? It is not about jnana yogena sanghyanam. It's about the karma yogena yoginam. It is referring to them. These things are spoken. Which one? Sarva karma bhalatyagam and all. It's referring to them. Jnana yogena sanghyanam doesn't require any more changes. They're already reached that state of sanghyam. So, in this chapter, while Krishna is discussing this, Jnana Yogam, Karma Yogam, these are the two important yoga systems Krishna has spoken. Remember that in the fourth chapter, he mentions there that in Bhagavad Gita, the two processes are Jnanam and Karma. Bhakti is not spoken separately. Why? Jnani needs Bhakti. Karma Yogi also needs Bhakti. And Bhakti itself is not a separately a yoga system. It is required for all yoga systems. Whether you follow Ashtanga process also, you need Bhakti. Without Bhakti, nothing will work. That is why when he mentions that, that in the beginning of that fourth chapter, he mentions there, Jnana Yogena Sanghyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam. And he gave us also how these two processes have survived in this world. Is it not? He mentions that Jnana Margam stayed through the Kumaras. Before Kumaras. He mentions there that it is through the four Kumaras that Sanaga, Sanandana, Sanadi, Sanul Kumara. There, Pravart Nivritti Lakshanam Dharmam, Jnana Vairagya Lakshanam Grahayamasa. It is through them that through the four Kumaras, this Jnana Margam stayed in this world. And Marichyadi Agre Srishtva Prajabadi Pravarti Lakshanam Dharmam Grahaya Masa Vedoktam. Karma Yogam stayed through whom? Through Prajabadis. Marichi, Atri, Angirasya, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kradu, Bhrigu, Vasishta, Daksha. They are all the authorities on the Karma Yogam. Through them, this Karma Margam stayed in this world because they got into creation, is it not? They are called Prajabadi, is it not? Prajabadi means who helped Brahma to continue the creation. It is through them Brahma created, through the Prajapati. So therefore they are called Daksha Prajapati, and Marichi is a Prajapati, Kashyapa Prajapati. We call them always Prajapati. You can see, throughout Bhagavatam is their history, is it not? You can see in the Bhagavatam, Kashyapa Prajapati, Aditi Devi, Didi Devi, they take many cantos in the Bhagavatam. They have taken that. So Karma Yogam and that process, Karma is through Prajapatis. Prajapatis are the cause of the karma. And Jnana Margam is through the Kumaras. They are not affected by any karma. They don't have karma. They come beyond all these things. That is why only the place where they appear in the Bhagavadam, these four Kumaras are in the 13th chapter, the 11th canto, where that Hamsavadaram happened, where they asked this question. Remember that difficult questions to how do you separate the senses and sense objects. Yeah, that question. So that's one of the places where the Kumaras appear. Otherwise, they went to see, they can go freely into Vaikuntha planet if they want. They can walk in and walk out when they want. They had that freedom because they are already in that state. So when they, that's where all the trouble happened between Hiranyakashipu and Jayavijaya, and the Kumaras, problem happened there, is it not? So these two processes, Jnana Margam through Kumaras and Karma Margam through Prajapatis, this is the process. This is the two systems spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. And both of them require the support of bhakti. Without bhakti, you can't make any of them perfect. So bhakti is essential. So therefore, there is no need to discuss about bhakti. That is Krishna's approach. Bhakti is absolutely necessary in spiritual life, whoever it is, whether it is a jnani or a karma yogi or whatever it may be. So karma yogi and their nishtha, their practices, all these things were discussed. But in this chapter, Krishna is also bringing back the Sankhya, Sankhya philosophy, because Sankhya means Jnana Margam, that is Jnana Margam. And na tesham moha dukkha nimitta tyagan upavatte. See, those who are living in the knowledge, always established in the knowledge, Jnana Nishtha it's called, they will not be in illusion any time, and they won't have any distress either. So, because they don't have illusion, they don't have distress, they don't have karma either. Because they are not doing any karma, and karma is not causing any problem for them, and also they don't experience any distress in this world. Not only that, they never fall into illusion, because they are settled in the platform of the Atma, platform of the soul. So, for them, there is no need to talk about giving up karma. Karma tyagam is not necessary to discuss in their case. It's not necessary. Na klayakesha nimittam dukkham sankhyaha atmani pasyanti icchadinam kshetra dharmatvena eva darshitatvat adate na kayaklesha dukkha bhayat karma parityajanti. Krishna is saying that so those who are in the sankhyam, sankhya philosophy, see, this Sankhyam, Jnana Margam, there is very little difference. Vedantam and Sankhyam. Sankhyam is from Kapilavarshi, Vedantam is from Vedavyas. There are a lot of things from Sankhyam, Vedavyas has accepted in the Vedantam. It is there. We will discuss that in the July classes when we discuss Sankhyam Vedantam. At that time you will understand that. So Sankhyam and Vedantam, there is not a big difference. Prakriti Purusha, two entities exist in Sankhyam. In Vedantam, only one. That is the only basic difference. Brahma. That's all. This differentiation between Prakriti Purusha goes away. That you can see in the Ekadasha Skanda when Krishna says to Uddhava also. That two things will disappear finally. So, Sankhya, those who are in the Sankhyam or those who are in the Jnana Margam, they are not concerned about the problems related with the body and the miseries that comes from the body, because they know they don't suffer due to desires. You see, when we have desires, we enter into action. When we enter into action, there is trouble for the body. Body has to function properly to do all that things, isn't it? So they know very well that desires they don't have. Who? Jnanis. Jnanis don't have desires. Therefore, they do not feel any fear because there is no desires inside. They don't give up karma. Because the way they do karma, and they're not feeling any distress from the karma. Karma means what? Body is involved, is it not? And that means body has to perform some austerity to do the karma. And that means that is called a sharirika klesham. Klesham means miseries that comes from the body to execute the karma. Everybody has to do that. So if you are doing karma, it brings distress through the body. It brings distress through the body. But Krishna says that these jnanis, because they have no desires, they may be doing karma, but it is not connected with any desires. Therefore, they won't give up those karma out of fear. For example, if I am attached to the karma, and if I have desires and I am engaging in karma, and if it's bringing problems to me, I will always be concerned about my body. Is it not? Sharirya klesham. I'll be worried about it. Is my body, can it handle it? That worry will be there. Is it not? So what happens in the old age? You quietly withdraw from karma. Because you know you want to protect your body. You can't do it anymore like the way you did before. So the body withdraws itself from the karma. That's due to old age. That's a different way of withdrawal. But in Jnani's case, what's happening is that they may still do karma, but there is no desires attached to it. Therefore, they don't have any sharirika klesham. That means bodily miseries don't exist in them. So, and therefore, they don't give up karma due to fear of anything. They don't give up due to the fear of anything. Na abhide karmani almani pashyanti yena niyadam karma mohat parityajeyu. Then, they also know very well that karma is happening through the body. Atma is not doing the karma. To that extent, the separation has happened inside, within. That karma is coming through the body and they are fully conscious that I have nothing to do with it. The self is above that. Asangoyam, asangoyam, asangoyam. No sangam with karma. No sangam with karma. So therefore, because it's like that, even nitya karma, there is not a problem for them. It's not a problem for them. So, another thing is, gunanam karma naiva kinjal karami iti hide sanyasandhi sarva karmani manasa sanyasya. If you look into the fifth chapter, in the fifth chapter, two verses Krishna spoke about, iti adhimi tattva veda sanyasa prakara uttaha. In the fifth chapter, if you look, you will see, there is two verses. Eighth one says, naiva kinjal karami iti yukto manyeda tattva veda. Pashyan, Shrinvan, Sprishan, Jighran, Asnan, Gachan, Sovan, Shosan. See, this is that state Krishna is saying about a jnani. Naiva kinjil, he is not doing any karma. Krishna is saying, why? Seeing, hearing, touching, smelling, eating, walking, sleeping, and breathing. All these things he is saying there. See, gunanam karmanaiva kinjal karumi idihide sanyasandhi, he says. Modes of nature is doing that. He is, I am not doing that. That's how free he is from the effect of the modes of nature inside. Pralavan, visrajan, grihanan, unmishan, nimishan nabi, indriyan, indriyarteshu, vartanda idi dharayan. Those verses. He's saying there, he is speaking, he is going to toilet, he is lifting something, he is closing his eyes, opening his eyes. Like this, all the senses are doing its job. I am not doing it. Senses are doing their work. To that extent, inside he is free, in other words. He is so free inside. That means he has no identification with the body. Practically, it has come to that stage due to knowledge of the self. So, and then he's saying there also, if you look further, in the 13th verse, he says, sarva karmani manasa sanyasyasthe sukham vashi navadvare pure dehi naiva kurvan nakare. That person, he says, sarva karmani manasa sanyasyasthe. That means there is no karma in his mind. He is totally free inside. Karma is still happening, but it's not in his mind anymore. Whereas all the karma, what we do, it's all in the mind, is it not? So, sanyasyasthi sukham vashi. Because there is sanyasam of all the karma, he is happy. He has given up karma altogether. Then what is it? Navadvare pure dehi naiva kurvan nakarayam. He says here that he is living in this building, in this town, which has got 9 holes. Navadvare,
Puree Dehi. Dehi is living there. Naiva Kurvan na Karayan. He is not doing anything, nor he is asking anybody to do anything. Naiva Kurvan na Karayan. He is not doing anything. He is so conscious about his freedom from the body that he is not doing anything while living within this body. Practically, he is living inside like a guest, not connected with the place where he is living. So, because these two things, this is the state of a person who is in that sannyasam state. Remember? In the second verse, Kamyanam karmanam nyasam sanyasam kavayo vidu. That person is like this. He has no relationship with the body. Body is doing its activities, what it has to do. And it's not creating any vasanas inside. And karmam has not entered inside him. For us, there's a lot of karmam inside, isn't it? Very difficult to live in this world without recognizing the presence of that karmam. You can see how karmam pops up suddenly. Suppose something has to be done, phone rings, immediately you will wake up and make sure that you have looked at the message. Or if it is an urgent call coming from somewhere, you are expecting something. So all that is karmam, which is packed inside us. It's waiting for the time to come out in some form. When it will come out, you don't know when the mobile will ring. So that vasana inside immediately takes control of the situation. There you have to surrender, you have no choice there, that it comes up like that. And that's true, not only with phone, in everything, if you look in the life, you can see all karma, family matters, and related to the bodily problems, everything. Oh, I forgot to take my medicine. Immediately, why? Because that is in me, already planted inside. 5 o'clock, if I don't take the medicine, my blood pressure will go up. So I have to take it, is it not? Like this, everything, if you look carefully, you will see that all this karma, what you are doing outside, the seed is inside. Packed very well and stored, and that will jump over everything else. Like you go to office, you have to be there at 9 o'clock in the morning. And if you don't get there, you will see, even if you have to do something else important, you will give it up because you want to be there at 9 o'clock in the office. So that controls karma. Karma controls inside. But in Annie's case, what Krishna is saying there, naiva kurvan na karayam. He is not doing anything and he is not the cause of anything. That means he has moved away from this disease of karma, what we have got. He doesn't have it anymore. He has come out of that. Karma is a rogam. It's a disease it is. So he has freed himself. So that is why he says here, so Gunam, the three modes of nature is what actually does the karma. Remember that. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken that. In the Bhagavatam also, Krishna has spoken that. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimodhalma kartaham idi manyade. So three modes of material nature is doing the karma, and that is known to him very well. He is in realization of that. The three modes of material nature is doing that. So, but those who have to do karma. Now, this is about the jnanis. You can leave them behind because we are not in that state. So, we don't have to worry about them. We have to worry about ourselves. What's our state? Our state is like this. We don't have the knowledge of the self, first thing. And when we are doing karma, we are frightened. What misery it will bring to the body. Suppose you have to work somewhere and you have to work day and night. After a while you will think that I can't do it because it affects my body. I can't work sleeplessly doing anything, isn't it? So because of that fear of the problems due to the karma, I might sometimes give up karma at that time. And that way of giving up karma due to fear of the distress, misery for the body. That kind of giving of karma is rajasam and tamasam. Krishna is saying, you can see this particularly in the great souls, right? People used to wonder how Prabhupada was working so many hours in a day and night. Because it is not in the rajasam tamasam. That is what it is. That he was working and working, traveling, preaching, writing books, opening temples, and
writing letters to devotees, thousands and thousands of letters at that age in life, to have that patience to do that. Why is it that happening? Because such those personalities who, in whom there is no karmam anymore. It's not a karmam that the way like we put our ego into it and work on it and do things. So here, here Krishna is saying here that those who are engaged in karmam in that way, you will notice that very easily, how relaxed they are about the karmam. Whereas for us, we will only do limited hours, what we can do. Beyond than that, we are finished. Is it not? Because we are not come out of the body. Only because of the fear of the body, we are not able to do karmam. We can speak 4 hours, 5 hours. After that, he'll say, no, we have to stop it now, to take rest. That feeling is very strongly embedded inside because of the fear of the body giving trouble. Body giving trouble. So, here, tasmadiyan adhikrita karmani analpa vidaha yeshamcha mohan nimittaha tyagaha sambhavati kaya klesha bhayat. Kaya klesha means this bodily miseries. That fear of bodily miseries that it will create. Cha te eva tamasaha rajasaja iti nindyade karmanam analpa jnanam karmabhala tyagastu ityartham. Then, why is it rajasam and tamasam? Because of the analpajnanam. Analpajnanam means, instead of knowledge of the self, I have knowledge of the body now. Identification with the body means that, is it not? See, right now, we all have knowledge of the body in us. Knowledge of the body means awareness of the body, not awareness of the self. If it is awareness of the self, then you won't experience the bodily misery. But because I have got awareness of the body, I experience the bodily misery. That is what Krishna is saying here. So because it is awareness of the misery coming due to awareness of the body, this sacrifice what you are making is under the modes of passion and ignorance. Rajasam and Tamasam it is. It becomes sattvikam. When does it become sattvikam? It becomes sattvikam when I am doing the karma in the awareness of the self as Atma, not as the body. Not as the body. So, here, so therefore, the nature of a sannyasi's way of doing things or life, that has already been spoken previously. You can see in the 12th chapter, Krishna spoke. Sarvarambha parityagi mauni sandushto yena kena chet anigedaha sthiramati. These are all his qualifications. Who? Sannyasi. Who is situated in that way. You must not forget all these qualifications. That's the only way you can identify a proper sannyasi. What is the qualification? Sarvarambha parityagi. 12th chapter, 16th verse. Sarvarambha parityagi. He is. Doesn't start anything new, fresh endeavors. Mauni, always silent. Sandushto yena kena chit. Whatever happens in life, he is always in a happy state. Then aniketaha, he has no place of residence. Sthiramati, his intelligence is always fixed. All these are qualifications. 12 chapter 16, 17, 18, 19. These are all the same quality for gunatitan, one who has transcended the three modes of material nature. It is the same quality for a sannyasi also. The same thing. So, lakshaneja paramartha sannyasino visheshidatvad vakshedija jnanasya ya paranishtam iti tasma jnananishtaha sannyasino na iha vivakshidaha. Because all these qualifications are the present in a sannyasi, present in a jnani, present in a realized soul, or present in someone who has transcended the modes of material nature. The qualifications are same, but in different ways Krishna is addressing that person. Sometimes he calls it as gunatitan. Sometimes he calls it as dundvatita. Sometimes he calls he is a devotee. Sometimes he calls he is a jnani. Sometimes he calls he is a karmayogi. Whatever you may call, the qualifications remains the same. They don't change. So, because they are situated fixed in the platform of the soul, they are not platform of the body. Therefore, they are called sannyasi also. Sannyasi is another word Krishna is using to address the same person.
Isn't that the same person? So, therefore, it is not necessary to discuss about Jnananishtha anymore. Here, it's all centered around karma. Those people who are stuck in the karma, field of karma, like all of us, who are stuck in the field of karma, unable to free ourselves from the karma. Those who have escaped from karma, they are either situated in the platform of the soul, Jnana Margam, or they have gone into the state of Parabhakti stage. In either way, body is not a hindrance for them anymore. Body is not a hindrance for them anymore. So that is why in that verse, 5th chapter when we read, Arjuna is asking this question, one who is realized, how does he eat? How does he sleep? How does he walk? How does he talk? This, that, so many things he is asking. Is there, isn't it? And Krishna is answering that, a jnani who has realized that, he will be doing everything like what we are doing, but the result, the difference is that he is not touched by them because there is no vasana inside. All the vasana is gone. Therefore, even though things are happening through his body, he is not even conscious of that, that it's having any impact on him. There's no impact on him. Whereas, for our case, because we are still in the field of karma, whenever we do something, it is causing something inside, some impact inside, before that karma goes away. This is the basic difference between the two. Karma bhalatyagam eva sattivatvena gunena tamasatvad upekshaya sanyasa uchyate na mukhyaha sarva karma bhalatyagaha. So, now, karma does not become sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. It's not the karma that makes it. What happens is, the karma bhalam that comes from that, when you give up that karma bhalam, it is based on that, that karma is made as sattvikam, rajasam, tamasam. For example, so based on the tamasa rajasam, these two modes of nature, if you give up the karma bhalam, if you give up the karma bhalam based on the modes of nature, tamasa rajasam, more than the tamasa rajasam, if it is in the sattugunam. The sattugunam is what Krishna has spoken before. That means when you give up the karma bhalam, not identifying with the karma bhalam, and able to forget it after it is performed, karma bhalam, you have, remember the way we discussed that, how you hand over the karma bhalam, knowing very well it's being given to Krishna, recognizing that, you're not accepting that. Rather, karma has come through me. I have got the results and here it is. And given, handed over to someone. And recognizing that Krishna is present in that person. If you do it like that, Krishna, that is satyam. That is called satyam. That karma becomes satyam. So, but all karma, if you give up in that way, it is not sannyasam. Now, let's understand this. Sarva karma sannyasa sambhavecha nahi deha vrida shakyam iti hedu vajanal mukhya iva eva iti ched. Because it is impossible to give up all karma. It is impossible to give up all the karma. So, because you can see, sometimes some karma will come without your knowledge. It will happen through you. It has to happen. Certain karma has to happen through you. Because all the karma does not happen with our full participation in that. We don't fully participate in the karma. Certain karma, for example, in life, some karma you do, those karma are planned. You are decided. Some desire was inside for self-realization or spiritual life. Therefore, you have decided certain things in life to structure your life in a particular way. But when you are living in your life in this world, everything does not happen the way you want it to happen. Some karma can happen without your knowledge it comes. So for example, if a war breaks out, naturally your priority will be to protect yourself first, is it not? So in that situation, you will do certain karma which was not planned, which was happened to come in life, in a particular moment in life, due to some reason, whatever it may be. So certain instances, when karma happens in life, you have no control over it. This you can see. See, for example, in the Shastram, what they say to us is that when you pray to Krishna, some people pray various different things, isn't it? And
Krishna, even when Krishna gives you something, it may not be the same what you have asked for. You may have noticed that. That you have asked for Krishna for something, and Krishna has given you something different. Even those results when you get it, it's not based on what you have asked for. So sometimes is some things you have asked and Krishna has given you something different. And you start realizing that point that my prayers hasn't got any meaning to it. Because you are trying to put this in front of Krishna, you are putting this request, saying, because desires are coming, a lot of problems in life. And it, when the results, when Krishna has given you some resolve, relief from the problems, or given you some benefit for what you asked for, you will see often that what He has given you is not what you have asked for. What you have asked for. So sometimes you can see, suppose you are suffering from a serious illness, it's giving you a lot of misery in life, and you want to get it cured. You are saying to Krishna that, you are going to the NHS or doctor or somewhere, saying that, I need a good doctor, or the operation be successful, something like that. You are facing an operation, for example. We say to people, listening, oh, somebody is in the hospital, he is in the IQ, what is it called? Intensive care, and he is going to have an operation. All devotees must pray. Text flying around all over the world. Everybody. So, then what happens? We send the text. Everybody is praying for him. What has Krishna decided? Krishna decided that he should die now and get out of this misery. So what does it mean? So have you noticed? You get text all the time, isn't it? So many times this happens. We are all praying, oh, so-and-so is in hospital, and we should pray for him, and he's suffering from this, that, and the other. But Krishna thought the right decision is to get rid of that body from him. That's Krishna's decision. Now, will you question Krishna's decision? Then you keep quiet after that, isn't it? You don't have any choice there. So, these are the situations you have to understand, that Krishna has his own way of making decisions. You have no control over that. Because it's like that, it's better not to ask for anything. Whatever given, be satisfied and be settled with that. Of course, misery is there in life. Who can, sometimes it's intolerable, unbearable it is, misery for the body. But trying to think that I am the right person to make that decision is wrong. I'm not the right person. Krishna is the right person. But Krishna takes his own time to make that decision. So, karma phalatyagam is also like that. If I do it in the satyuga mode, it will do some benefit. But if it is done in rajasam and tamasam, it is useless. Instead, it will bind you more. It will bind you more. That is what Krishna is saying. So, here, now, when Krishna said that, see, na hetu vajanasya stutyarthatvad yadha tyagad shantir anandaram. In the 12th chapter, Tyaga Shantir Anandaram, Krishna says one verse, isn't it? Remember that Shreyohi Jnanam Abhyasal Jnanal Dhyanam Vishishade Dhyanal Karma Bhalatyagam Tyaga Shantir Anandaram. There is a verse there in the 12th chapter, isn't it? So, iti Karma Bhalatyagam Studi Evaha Ethoktun Ega Paksha Anushtana Shakti Mantram Arjunam Atyam Prativithana Tata Shubham Abhinahi Dehabada Shakyam Iti Karma Balatyaga Stutyartam Vachanam. Now, giving up the results of all the karma, this is a advice or instructions to ordinary people to come to the platform of sannyasam. To the platform of sannyasam. To glorify sannyasam, it is spoken like that. And after giving up the results of all the karma, Shanti will come, he says in that verse. Karma Balatyam Shaga Shanti Andram. Is also spoken in the same way. Is also spoken in the same way. See, to give up all the karma is not possible. Including Arjuna cannot do it, who is an ajnani. And including Arjuna cannot give up all the karma. Therefore, it is to such people that Krishna has spoken this. That giving up karma phalam, results of karma, is sannyasam. It is in that context it is spoken. So, sa sarva karmani manasa sannyasya na eva kurvanna kare naaste iti asya pakshasya apavadaha kainachil darshayidam shakya. So, if you have given up all the karma from your mind, karma is inside the mind, don't in the subtle body. That's where the karma is, isn't it? So, those who have given up inside and not naiva kurvanna karen, Krishna says, he's not doing anything, he's not causing any problems to others, and for him, it is not possible, or it is not difficult if he has come to that stage. He's not doing anything, he's not causing others to do anything. He's not encouraging anybody to do karma, he's not doing any karma either himself. So, those who have to do karma, Krishna says, they have to do that. But Sankhyam philosophy, or those who are following the Sankhyam, or Jnananishtha, or establishing the Jnanam, only for them, Sarva Karma Sannyasam is allowed. That means only if you have realized the self and completely situated in the platform of the soul, being fully broken away from the body, completely bifurcated from the body, separated from the body, in which situation, whatever karma happens, or do it or you don't do it, it will have no effect on the personality, on the person. It is for them only that sarva karma sannyasam is allowed. Sarva karma sannyasam is allowed. Therefore, practically you can see this sarva karma sannyasam is only talking about very, very, very few people in this world. Very, very, very few. You will hardly find, rarely one or two souls here or there in the world. Practically, it is not possible. Everyone else falls into the other category. Which one? Karma Bhalatyagam. Not Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam, but instead Karma Yogena Yoginam. That is the path for them, those who are absorbed in the karma. So, that is what we are discussing here. So, here, he says, Krishna is saying to him, that I will tell you the secret of Tyagam. That's what he says there, isn't it? Nishchayam shrunume tatra tyage bharata sattama. That verse, the fourth verse. He's saying, I'll tell you the secret of Tyagam, he says. And it is in three ways that happens. Sattvam gunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. In three ways this Tyagam happens, and I will explain to you that Tyagam, Krishna says. And that is the first explanation, the fifth verse. Let's look at that. Yajnam dānatapa karma natyajyam karyam eva tat yajnyo dānam tapas caiva pavanani manishinam yajnya dānatapa karma natyajyam karyam eva tat yajnyo dānam tapas caiva pavanani manishinam. See, yajnyam dānam tapas karmam natyajyam karyam eva tat yajnyo dānam tapas caiva pavanani manishinam. Acts of sacrifice, charity and penance are not to be given up. They must be performed. Indeed, sacrifice, charity and penance purify even the great souls. Even the great souls. So, that is how Krishna begins. First Krishna says, I will explain to you Tyagam, how it happens under the three modes. Under the, and renunciation or Tyagam, and under the three modes. And that means in the same system, like he explained everything, like in the last chapter also, the faith, Shraddha, is spoken in three different ways, isn't it? Yajnam in three different modes. Dhanam in three different modes. Tapasa in three different modes. Karmam in three different modes. And similarly, Devata, three different modes. Aharam, food, in three different modes. So similarly, in the same way, Tyagam also, Krishna is going to talk about in the three different ways. So, suppose, certain things, if you look at in life, you can see. We ask some question,
And the answer for that question also is in the field of the body, Sharira Mandalam. The question and the answer is within the field of the body, is it not? You can think about this yourself. Because as the, in the bodily level, identifying with the body, you are asking the question. And the answer for that also in the bodily level, is it not? So anything, many things in life, it is like that. You can give many, many examples for that. For example, if I say to you, or you are telling me that, meet me at 6 o'clock somewhere else in some place. When you tell me that, you are expecting my body to be there, isn't it? It's on the bodily level that question is. And I have to come there with this body and present it to you. So, bodily question, a bodily answer. And a bodily karma, it is, isn't it? So some things you are asking questions with complete identification with the body. And so answers to those questions also will be on the platform of the body, being in the situated in the platform of the body. Some things you can see when Krishna says it's from the platform of the soul. Therefore the answers also from that is on the platform of the soul, not in the platform of the body. So for example, you are performing yajnam, danam, tapas. Yajnam, danam, tapas. Three things. Krishna says, don't give up all these things, isn't it? Karya mevata, he says, that nischayam shanume tatra tyage bharata sattama tyago hi purusham vyakram trivida sampragirtida trivida sampragirtida. It's because these things, Krishna is saying, they should never be given up. It is from a bodily level it may appear. Just like you are chanting the holy name. You are chanting a lot. Krishna says it should be done. It should be done. But chanting is also very much based on the body and the mind. Is it not? You are not platforming the fold, you are chanting. We are all chanting based on the identification with the body. So the instruction is from the bodily level, the instruction to chant. From the bodily level, the instruction is from the bodily level to chant. And you are chanting the holy name from a bodily level. Mind is going somewhere and self-realization is not there. Only body is doing the chanting, basically. Isn't it? So similarly, so many other things. You are chanting Gayatri, for example. Sandhyavandanam. All these things, or reciting the Vedam. And similarly, so many other people give charity to others, to poor people. And they are thinking that whatever I have got in my hands, let me give it to the world for benefit of others. This is also charity, isn't it? It's given like that. So they give it in that way. And sometimes they perform austerities, tapas. They do all that, isn't it? Even though we are doing all these things, this is all yajnam, danam, tapasya, in that category, it is all mentions like that. Krishna is saying here, look at that word, in the fifth verse, yajnam, danam, tapasya, karma, natyajyam, should never be given up. Why? Karyam evatat, he says there. Karyam evatat. That is what he is saying here. Karyam evatat means it must be done. You should not give it up. It is an instruction based on the body. Is it not? Yajnam, danam, tapasya, all this is based on the body. Who is doing? Body is doing it. Body is doing danam. Body is doing tapasya. Body is doing karma. Krishna is saying they must be done. Karyam evatat, he says here. Karyam evatat. So, karyam evatat. All these should be done. Nothing should be given up, Krishna says. Nothing should be given up. Because, why you should not give it up? The reason for that is, Krishna says, pavanani manishina. That is the reason. Reason for that is, pavanani manishina. He says there that and must be performed as penance, purify even the great souls. Says the
Manishina means the great souls. That's what Prabhupada is saying there. That Pavanani Manishina. It purifies even the great souls. They get purified by these things. So it should be done. Although it is in the platform of the body. Although it is on the platform of the body. So all of them are purifying. And if these things are not there, then what is left in this world? That also you have to think, isn't it? Only selfishness. If you take away yam danam tapasya, all this away, then what's left in the world is only selfishness. So people normally ask this question, that this happens often, that say a group of people has assembled and they are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, and people come, and some of them will listen to whole Bhagavatam, some of them will sit for some time, then they'll take prasadam and then they will go. So suppose if you have not gone to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, what will you do otherwise at home? So suppose you didn't go for that. Suppose you don't go for Salsangam, or you don't go and hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, what will you do? You won't sit at home and read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, would you? Normally it doesn't happen, unless they are very exceptionally so exceptionally serious about spiritual life. It won't happen. So therefore, it has to be done. It has to be done. Because if you don't do it, if you don't go to hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, there's very little chance that you will sit on your own and read 4 or 5 hours Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. That won't happen. That's very rare thing. It will happen. So, so if you can do it, it is good, but it won't happen. That's the way human nature is like that. It's impossible to change that nature. You have to forcefully put people together and to inject this into them. Then something will go inside. So, suppose you are sitting at home and you say to me, oh, rather than sitting in the class, I get sleepy or I get affected. I'm not able to concentrate, but whereas at home I can concentrate more and I'm more focused at home. I'm much more comfortable to read it at home. Generally, it won't happen. Majority of cases, it won't happen. Because probably you will sit and start reading, and then some questions or doubts will come, or phone rings, or somebody calls you, or something happens, and the attention goes away, and perhaps you may even forget to do it for the half an hour, 1 hour, if it happens, you have to take it as a success. But that is a general nature. So, therefore, Krishna is saying that example is this, that certain things, yatnyam dhanam tapasya, if it is not done properly in that way, it won't happen. It will not happen. That is why these rules are kept. And Krishna is saying, pavanani manishinam. Intelligent people say that it is better to do it. It will purify the person. Just like 4 hours we are spending here now, discussing Bhagavad Gita. Suppose we don't do it, what will happen? We'll sit at home, or our mind will go into something else, is it not? Some work at home, or office work, or family commitments, something like that will take away. It won't happen. Even if you sit down and read, you may read for half an hour maximum, with all the attention if you give it to it. But therefore, these systems of salsangam, yajnam, dhanam, tapasya, Krishna is saying, must be done. Even though it is sometimes inconvenient that you have to travel distances, come here and go back, all this is energy involved, but at least at that time, your mind is properly situated in the sense that you are hearing directly from Bhagavad Gita's instructions, Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, and trying to understand what Krishna has to say to this world, which is more important than anything else. So, So, at least, those who are capable of doing it, let them do it. That's fine. But you have to remember this. The minimum benefit you derive from that is that other things you don't do it. That itself is a big profit from that, isn't it? I mentioned this many times before. Suppose you are not doing something wrong. It has got more power than you doing something good. You know, Because there is your success. Suppose I have a lot of karma vasana inside, running here, running there, and all that. I'm able to stop it. Sit in one place and able to be peaceful inside within me. I am strongly situated in spiritual life than one who is running all over the world, unable to control his own mind. That's the way it is. That means doing something, not doing something bad, not doing something bad is more powerful than doing something good. You see? That means what it's indicating to us is that the control on the senses and the mind is higher for that person than one who may be doing a lot of good things, but his control is not so good. He has to be engaged all the time running for that reason. That's why it is spoken like that. So I think it is 5 o'clock. We'll stop today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.